Hey, this is Erica Combo, and you're listening to Crosstalk Radio with Big Pudge and Steph Swig, where the talk is real and raw.
I want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephant in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
Crosstalk Radio.
Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan, know it to the Netherlands.
We coming through like it's season two. Hit you with the crosstalk, yeah, you know how we do. Changing the world one show at a time. We the salt of the earth, bringing light to your mind. Universal conversations. We appreciate the love we got back from every nation. Really, it's an honor that y'all listen to us. Cause Big Pudge and Steph Swig will give it to you. Transparency, spiritually, life lessons and politics, the ultimate greed. What I'm saying ain't no boundaries. When we at this table, bringing awareness to the things we see. So rest yourself and enjoy the show. You're guaranteed to be intrigued by this Crosstalk Radio.
Oh, oh. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the world famous Crosstalk Radio. This is your man Steph Swig.
And this is your man Big Pudge.
Thank you.
We appreciate all this love.
All the love. We got a very, very special show with us tonight. We've been pumping it up all week. We've been excited about it. But you can introduce our... Well, you know what? Let me talk about the show first.
Okay, yeah, tell me.
So, a couple weeks ago, we had a show that said, what do men have to do to prepare for marriage? And we always thought it would be fitting after that show to happen with the women. But we thought it also would be fitting to have a show about women with actual women on the show.
Right.
Thus come these women here, these wonderful women that we respect and honor and appreciate so much.
Yes.
So, Pudge, would you do the honor of introducing the world to our guests?
Okay, so I'm not going to give last names because, you know, if we like Steph said last week, we're not going to do last names no more. Because he messed up with a name. Right, so we got Quan Renee, who was just here last week, you know, Grief, go check that out.
Check it out.
We got Tijanae, Name, which was, she was here, what?
The author of the Cries of a God for
Sex Addiction, you know what I'm saying? That was like last year.
Yeah.
And we have Brenda Gibbs, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all actually got to witness it.
You asked me to do the introduction, please. The first time the world really got to know who Brenda was when Mrs. Steven proposed to her live to the whole entire world.
Yes,
it was awesome and dope. She didn't see it coming. Go check that one out,
please,
too.
Please check that one out. That's one of my favorite
videos. Right, of course it should be.
That reaction was amazing.
It was everything.
So the way the show is going to go, y'all can jump in at any given time. I don't have any written question. The question is the title of the show. What do women need to do to prepare for marriage? And my idea was y'all would have a list of things that y'all would say, your personal goals, whatever you got. It's a crosstalk, so feel free to be transparent, cry, laugh, whatever you got to do. It's a crosstalk. Like I told someone, if they cry, hell, our ratings will probably go up, so it's fine to be.
So
we're an authentic show.
Let them out.
You know, that way, Pudge won't be the only one who cried on the show.
Hey, our ratings went up when I did.
I don't care who goes first. Y'all go multiple, however y'all want to do it. This is y'all's show. But sorry. Let me get back to it. I noticed that y'all know the dope setup. We got a table here. We got candy. We got candles. And you just can't. Women have a different standard of things. When you have a woman come in, any situation, your house gets different when a woman come in. Mm-hmm. At my job, the men's bathroom is a regular bathroom. You go to the women's bathroom, they got potpourri, they got lotions,
that's
they got
so
dispensers,
true.
They got
so
flowers,
true.
Which actually motivated me. Like, you know what? I can't do it the same way when they had the women on. So we got to kind of come with that feel. Like, I had to have candy and candles. I wanted to have some flowers, but I ran out of time. But aww. Welcome to the show. Thank y'all so much for coming.
Thank
it's
you.
An honor, a pleasure to have you. Me and Pudge have been excited about the show. We called each other today laughing and so excited about this show. I called her twisting her arm to kind of come on. I'm excited. You got to come. You're going to come. So we are so excited to have everybody here. But I really appreciate y'all taking time out your lives and being able to share your lives with the Crosstalk listeners, Crosstalkers worldwide. My man, Ali over there. One studio and studio guest in the building / cameraman.
I do it all.
Appreciate you, man. All right. whoever wants to go first, ladies, tell the world what women need to do to prepare for marriage. Whoever wants to go. Okay. Ladies first. Whoever
we're
going to
let the queen start first.
Come on, queen. All right.
All right.
I want to hear what she needs. What she going to say.
Now. Okay, so listen. This is what's up. I'm going to start with myself.
This is what's up.
Because I particularly had a list. You know, I have been married before, as you know, and you know, of course. Mm-hmm. But after that, you know, I learned a lot. I learned a whole lot, right? The problem with that is it's like, okay, you know what? I got to make sure I got this. I got like a list of things that I got to get myself together with. All the things that I messed up on before. All the things that I ain't going to tolerate this time. Wow. Whatnot, right? I'm going to just put this out there. First and foremost, know thyself.
Come on.
Like, come on.
Well, let me go ahead and take that off my list. Definitely had that there.
Why? Because if you do not know yourself, you definitely can't love yourself. But
talk
that's a cue
it.
As well.
Yes.
I'd say you definitely got to know yourself and you got to love yourself. Those two above anything, you can't possibly expect for someone to love you the way you need to be loved if you don't even know how to love yourself. You got to teach someone how to love you.
Come on,
so,
say that again.
You have to teach someone how to love you. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I learned it the hard way. The great thing is I came from someone who was trained to love me already.
Come on. That's awesome.
So that's my first key, like, period. You got to know yourself. And whatever it takes for you to get to that point of knowing you, date yourself. Go take yourself out. Find out what you like. Find out what you love. Find out what you don't like. Once you figure that stuff out, and treat yourself the way you should be treating, your self-value goes up. Your self-esteem, you know your worth. And you're not going to just take anything.
That's
so,
come on.
That's my
that's
first.
That's good.
So we're going to just go.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, might as well.
All right, what you got? Teaching that.
Well, let's go with hers.
Come on.
She said, knowing thyself. You got to be happy once you know who you are. Mm-hmm. If you're not happy first, I love Will Smith said, him and Jada, he's happy, and then Jada's happy, and they bring their happy together. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of us tend to do, thinking that relationships are going to make us happy or heal our hurt. So I would say to be happy within yourself first before jumping into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just to piggyback off of you two, I think one of the biggest things, too, is not only just loving yourself, but... the list is great, but if that person is not everything on that list, can you learn to grow with that person? Because I know some people that are single, especially women, and one of the most difficult things is they're looking for this perfect guy, but you're not perfect.
Exactly.
So why do you have this expectation for a man, but the man can't have that expectation for you? But then when you do meet someone, then you're trying to get everything checked off your list that first day you meet. It's not going to happen like that. So it's like, be okay with you and stop trying to put yourself in this box to have this perfect relationship, because it's never going to be a perfect relationship. I say it all the time. Love is work. And they don't intentionally hurt you. But there is going to be some times where you're going to experience some hurt and some pain. It's how you handle that. Is how you build a relationship. And stop being so quick to walk away. Is you single because you don't know how to be committed? Can you be committed to a friendship first before you try to get into a relationship with someone for a long period of time?
All right, so I got a question. I just love, because I ain't had no questions at all until y'all just started talking. All
right.
So what do y'all have to say about a flight or fight woman? Like a woman where... that's her typical thing. When something get hard, she flights. She takes off. But she wants to be married.
No, she don't. She wants the dream.
Come on here.
She don't want to be married. Ooh. Because marriage is a fight.
Come on here.
So if she always flighting it, she probably don't even like being around her. So that's...
Okay.
You better run. Run.
And that's a conflict that she has within herself that she's going to have to grow through in order to get better, because she's never going to have the right person or who she's looking for until she gets better within herself.
Yes.
Okay. I think on the flip side, though, when you're talking about the list, you also have to be careful not to enable people and get stuck on, oh, because I'm committed, you don't have standards.
Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of times we get this, especially people that have been like cultured into marriage, especially us safe folk. We like, okay, we married and we committed and that's what God said, or this is what I want, and then that's it. Right. And there's no room to grow if the person's not growing. You have to still have standards for yourself and leave room to be able to get yourself out, because if not, you'll go crazy.
And don't be so desperate to be with someone that you don't have standards.
That's what I mean.
And your clock, we know, your clock isn't ticking because you don't have no children, or you're not married, or everybody around you is like, why are you not married yet, or why are you still single? No. Because sometimes that'll make a woman be like, I just gotta go be with somebody. Mm-hmm. Or we'll revert back to an old relationship that we knew was bad.
Come on, talk about
it. And get into this relationship knowing that this person didn't make no changes. Mm-hmm. So we put ourselves in situations sometimes where it's like, I know you're not good for me, but it's just something I want to do because I don't want to be lonely.
Comfortable. Don't want to do the work.
Yes, don't want to do the work. Yeah. So flight or fight. Mm-hmm. Learn how to fight within yourself before you try to do it with somebody
else.
Okay.
I agree.
Because what happens is then that's where cheating can come in. Mm-hmm. If we asking questions and we're arguing all the time, eventually we're going to get tired of that. Mm-hmm. And then if you walking out the door packing your bags every time we can't even have a discussion, it's not going to be roses every day. It's going to be, like everyone's saying, as we grow, we're going to have those hard conversations, especially if the other person can see me but I can't see myself. Mm-hmm. We're going to have those conversations where we can move forward.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And I want to piggyback off of something else that you were saying. We talked about this list, and I feel like I'm going to go back to me. The list. Some women, not me, but some women I've seen, my man's got to make 6 figures. Mm. Oh, my man, when I find him, he's got to be this. He's got to be 6'4". He's got to be this. He's got to have this job. He's got to have this car. And, one could ask you, oneself, do you make 6 figures?
Right, come on.
Have you ever made 6 figures?
Right.
And you expecting that of him. What do you think he's going to see of you when he looks at you?
Right.
It ain't all about a banging body. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So part of that standard is, what are you bringing to the table?
Yes.
You want to look at a guy and say, oh, his credit got to be all that. This had to be all that. What about your credit?
Right.
What does yours look like? So whatever, I feel like to a certain extent, whatever you're asking of a man, can you at least bring a part of that to the table? Mm-hmm. Can you bring a plan to get that to the table?
All right.
Can you work with your man to make 6 figures?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this is your goal. What about working with him to get that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, the list can bring on a lot of drama if you're not working the list right. Mm-hmm. It's great to have these standards, but are they reasonable?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So how do you tell a woman, and more so I'm a situation where the woman is your friend, how do you tell a woman who is sensitive, and I'm just paraphrasing, that she needs to work on herself because all she sees is this list? Like, because you have, people are stubborn. Human beings are stubborn. So you have people where, that's been in the divorce already. And they not settling for nothing else but what's on this list. But they not realizing that there's a lot of brokenness, which is the reason why these barriers and walls have been put up. And they don't see their brokenness. So they're kind of like in the denial state, and they're not moving from this list. But you are that one friend that can actually get through to them. But you got to be tactful in how you say it. So, and we have a lot of people out there. The reason why I'm making this question, because we have a lot of people that have said what Brenda said, and it's like, I know so many women will hear what Brenda just said, and they go right over their head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, child, that ain't me.
Because
I got this, I got that. And everything she's saying is 100% facts, but it takes, like, a personal friend to be like, boo, let me talk to you. So,
You just did, that's how you do it. Boo, let me talk to you, because you have an obligation as that person's friend to always keep it real, or you're not a real friend.
I got a question
for that.
Yes, come on.
Because what if the friend is not listening?
Oh, you did your part.
Because I have one of those. I have one of those.
And you and you're saying, hey, let me. As your friend, I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm not trying to judge or any of that. But what if that friend just literally don't want to listen because this is what I'm going to do?
I think you have to. Oh, it's friend names. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's what I'm trying to do. Okay. Asked the questions only right when y'all answered.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. I can answer a question
on the show. I can. I think in that situation, I mean, at the end of the day, the therapeutic answer would be. You have to dissociate yourself with that because you did your part. Mm-hmm. Have peace with the seeds you planted. That was your role.
Yes.
It's up to them to take or leave it. Mm-hmm. I gave you the truth as a friend. I gave it to you in honesty and in love. Mm-hmm. That's up to you to do it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But you cannot allow that to bring you down with
that's
them.
Right.
Because it's frustrating. If you have kids, you deal with that. If you have friends, you deal with that. Mm-hmm. If you have people in your life that you nobody typically moves at the way we think they should move.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I can give Pudge advice and give me advice, and whether we take it is up to us.
Right.
But still, shouldn't be no love lost between us, unless it's something bringing him down.
Right.
Unless I'm constantly complaining about my situation, I'm not doing nothing about it. That's annoying.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's. So that's me. I'm the annoyed friend.
Yeah.
So I'm the annoyed friend that's like, all right, bruh. Like I kicked it in a female term, but I was talking about homeboy. I'm like, all right, bruh. Like. When this go wrong, because it's going to go wrong.
Come on.
And it's not, man, I'm not speaking that negative one. Bruh, it's all there in the open. Everybody sees it but you because your nose is open. So I'm like, I'm that friend where I'm irritated to the point where I'm like, I don't want to hear it when it goes south. And my thing is, because my thing is, now I know on the whole God piece, we supposed to put that to the side and still be there for the friend. And I ain't there. I mean, it's like I said, it's a frustration because it's like, bro, like you have been down this lane 3 times already. Like you following a whole pattern. And it's because.
Listen, we're not going
to. We got a whole inside joke. We got a whole inside joke. It's not pattern, y'all. It's pattern. He looking lost like, where's the joke come from?
No, I hear a phone ring. I'm trying to figure out where does that come from.
Oh. No, I think it's mine. I think it's that other phone right there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's notifications coming in from other stuff. That's what it is. I'm sorry.
It's all right. We keep it moving.
No, small technical difficulty. But my whole point is, I know we're I know we're supposed to, you know, be that loving friend no matter what the person is going through. And then when they come back to you, like, bro, I should have listened to stuff like that. You know, you're not supposed to be like, I told you so.
You do until you say it to yourself, though. But you say, I'm sorry it happened. I told you, I said that was going to happen. I told you, if you listen to me, I'm sorry it happened. I'm glad you got that revelation.
Right, because see, my thing is, I ain't sorry it happened. So I tried to warn your mind before it did.
So when it goes down, it could just be a matter of, listen, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I'm glad we're at this point. So now we can actually move forward.
Yeah.
Now we can ask the changes necessary to not have you go down this path again.
Yeah, that's
good. You ready to
work with me? What did we learn from this?
Come on, let's... Right.
What did we learn?
That's good, that's good. I like how you said, what did we learn? So you kind of make the person feel like you inserted yourself in that. So they don't make it feel like you're just picking on them. That was good.
Put yourself in there with them.
Yeah, that was good. I think we all got one hard-headed friend who just don't want to listen.
Yeah.
Just one?
I got one couple. Some of them become ex-friends after a while.
And let's be honest, we might have been that hard-headed friend once upon a time. So we have to be patient.
We do.
However, I am one that I use wisdom. So we can have patience. And if it starts getting to the point where you're not listening at all, I'm here to only listen. Unless you ask my opinion, I am only listening. Yeah. And sometimes people do want people that's just gonna listen, but we always go to try to solve people's problems. Yeah. Just let them talk.
Yeah, I ask my friends, like, listen, is this what conversation you want my advice on? You want me to listen? I do either one. Just let me know. Because my natural instinct is, okay, well, let me help you out.
Me too.
So sometimes we just need people to listen. Yeah.
Even if we're talking about women, that's sometimes difficult because we are the ones that we got this. We're gonna figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially if it's a relationship, has to deal with a relationship. I can't tell you how to be in the relationship because it's you. I can always give you the suggestion. But if you don't listen to me, I cannot get upset because it's still at the end of the day is your life. And that's even when it comes to wanting a woman to the things that she needs to do too before she gets married. Like, yes, I can take these steps, but if I tell you them and you don't do them, I still can't be upset mm-hmm. because it's still your path. Right. Mm-hmm. Whether you get married one day or you don't, I still have to still be that example. And sometimes yeah. that can be a challenge.
Yeah. Okay. That's mm-hmm. true.
So I got a response. I got three responses. I posed a question yesterday. And I got one person where her response was a woman preparing themselves for marriage. She said, compromise. Make sure you know how to communicate. Make sure you have a personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. How y'all feel about that?
Wait. Because you said compromise, then you started asking.
Yeah, right.
When
yeah.
you said compromise.
I just responded.
I know, but when you said compromise, she had a very cool reaction. Oh, okay. Reaction.
So let's take it word for word. Compromise.
I hate that by wearing my emotions on my face. compromise to me, that's a slippery slope, because you want to compromise in the retrospect of trying to bring unity in the situation mm-hmm. that you have. However, compromising your morals and values is not okay. I'm always saying, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for mm-hmm. anything. That's and I know mm-hmm. a lot of women who have gotten with men that they know daggone they don't agree with certain things, but because they want to keep mm-hmm. a man,
come on.
They will agree and be a yes. Ain't nobody got time to be no yes puppy.
Come on.
And to yes. piggyback off of that, not even just that, but then they become the wife and you didn't even get engaged yet.
You asking for wife stuff and you
doing wifely duties to a man he's not your husband. And I think sometimes in our culture we've gotten okay with that. Yes. It's okay. Yeah. He bae and y'all been together for so long, it's okay. And you're doing wifely duties, but he ain't doing husband duties.
He ain't committed.
Mm-hmm. So let me try to level the playing field.
Alright.
Yeah, I think that hit everybody.
Yes. Because right now, we do have, I don't want to say the word gullible. Right now, we have women who are listening who aren't knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to level the playing field.
I was there.
Is,
don't feel bad.
Yeah, I don't want a woman to walk away from this and be like, oh, nigga, I ain't compromising. I saw cross talking. What these women talking about is it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to pose a question to the women so the women can respond to this. So I'm going to give an example of compromise. All right.
Okay. Both of them?
No, no. Y'all gave the first one. I don't need to go.
I gave two, but go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm just going to pose a question.
Okay, all right.
The question is, two married couples, mm-hmm. one person loves jazz, the other person loves hip hop.
Okay.
So we're having a family meeting and whatnot, and we want to show the kids something, but we're arguing over something as simple as in, what are we going to allow the kids to listen to? Now, mind, I'm just being hypothetical. I'm picking this out of my head as I'm talking. So, is it okay for the wife to compromise to allow the kids to listen to hip hop just because it's not even worth the argument? It's not even that big. It's not lowering her morals. She's not like degrading herself or anything like that. I'm just simply compromising because it's like you pick and choose your battles.
Yeah. Exactly.
When,
yes.
In a relationship.
That's exactly
what it's about. Okay. Picking and choosing your battles. Okay. And everything isn't worth the fight.
Right. And yeah. we arguing about some music. I mean, I know it was an example, but I'm mm-hmm. saying don't sweat the small stuff.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So if you not on like rap, mm-hmm. but this is what you like and we want the kids to be okay with that, I'm not going to, in front of the kids, be like, I asked you not to play that.
Even better. All three of y'all hate hip-hop. But y'all husbands want to take y'all to a Wu-Tang concert.
I'm going to get McDonald's.
Y'all were supposed to hate hip hop.
I keep forgetting you said we hate hip hop. Right. And I'm sitting here shaking my head at you. Right.
Like, I'm going.
You can't say hate hip hop, then put Wu Tang in there.
I was hypothetical. Yeah,
I know.
But so ladies, I hope y'all got there. Like, you see how fast they responded? Like, they would go to their husbands, like, with their husbands on a concert.
Yes.
You know, even if they don't like rap, it's just a compromise.
Yes. But on the flip side, I mean, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You would expect your mate to do the same thing for you. If there's something that you love and you're passionate about, yeah, he might not like it so much, but you expect him to at least be supportive of what it is that you're passionate about. Right. So, I mean, it's a two-sided coin. Right.
It's simple to me. It's like, to me, when it comes to compromise, I don't like that word either, but when it comes to compromise in my mind, it's like, you have to speak your truth. I don't care what the compromise is. If I don't have peace about it, if I feel like I'm losing myself by compromise, then I can't do it.
Yeah.
I owe that to myself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, in a relationship, I think you're supposed to do stuff you normally wouldn't do. That's the whole point. That's one of the points. Like, I get to do stuff I never got to do or thought about doing because I'm with Brenda. Same thing with her.
Right.
We grow together by doing different things. But if you don't have peace with it, and I'm talking about, I don't care what it is. If you don't have peace with it, then you're losing a part of yourself, and your spouse shouldn't ask you or expect you to do stuff that's definitely damage your peace.
Right. Now, I ain't trying to be funny, but if you don't have peace about going to a certain area of town because something happened to you, but that's just like where your husband is person or spouse goes all the time, there's some healing need to take place. So I just want to clear that up because it's like somebody could be like, oh, I just don't have peace in my mind with going that side of town. Maybe that's because you don't like the hood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So I have an example.
Ain't messing with your morals at all.
My husband, like our, my husband's family, we didn't get along at first, but I would always make up an excuse why I just couldn't go. But eventually, one of my friends said, "If he can go everywhere with you, you can't never go nowhere with him and his family." And I had to get over my feelings of how I felt, and I really had to start being okay being around the family. Now, at first, it was a build-up. So, it's like, okay, so we're just going to be here for an hour. Okay. All right. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, hey. And then eventually, I stopped being so consumed with the time and being like, hey, have you checked on them? Now, that's compromising. Because what can happen is if I stop compromising, then who is going to compromise with him?
Somebody around his family, if he's a family person.
Well, I like that.
That's good.
So that's cannot be so quick to be like, I ain't doing that because you know I don't like that. Okay, that, but how many times you not gonna like this before he be like, yo, it's okay, you don't have to.
I was gonna stop you.
Somebody else is liking it.
Right.
And
right.
then you're gonna be upset because somebody else is liking what you wouldn't compromise for.
Right, and that's real good.
I think it boils down to communication, though. Yes. That's one of the things on here. You need to tell your spouse why that is so important to you. So if the music, if hip-hop, you want to give culture and you want to expose your kids, then tell your wife that. You know, sometimes people argue off just principle sometimes. You know I don't like this. And I'm going. It's a control thing opposed to expressing the importance why you value this. Sometimes people don't know why you value or esteem stuff so high.
I agree. I want to piggyback on that. Cause I also think that's a way of intimacy.
Yeah.
Because you not speaking your truth to your husband is not allowing, or your spouse is not allowing them to get to know the real you.
Yes.
Perhaps if they understood why you hated hip hop, it wouldn't be an issue no more.
Right.
Even if it's something totally different, it doesn't matter. The point is, when you start hiding your truth, like you were doing, not trying to chastise you, you was kind of killing the area of intimacy for your husband. Like he could have like, yo, let me squash it with my family. Why you don't like my family? I love them, but why you don't like them? You know, then maybe something could have been done differently. But at the same time, that's what I always talk to when I talk to people. I say, be honest with yourself as well as your person. Why, if you don't like it, you don't like it, but tell them why you don't like it.
Absolutely.
You know?
So it was that's something all. That I tease your name.
Yes. You can call me T. Okay. No one really says my real name.
What
like
he
that.
Said about we can be controlling as women.
I said that.
Come on here now.
I don't remember saying that. Now.
Speak your truth, boo.
Sis, I don't remember saying that. Hey,
but I'm angry. There you go, Allie. There you go.
There you go. And I'm only saying that, especially if I've been single for so long, and I'm so used to the way that I do things, and now I'm about to start dating or someone's about to come into my life, I can be more damaging than good because this is how I've been doing it. You don't have to get used to it. And so I'm controlling, I'm trying to control the situation because of past issues that have happened than opposed to being open to what can come my way. This could probably be a good relationship, but because I am like this and I'm like, I'm not changing nothing, then I don't leave myself open to actually receive what I need to receive.
Right.
10 years later, you still single.
And 10 years later, right. You're still single.
Okay, I can rock with you direction. And I can rock with what you said. Now you bitter.
And now you bitter and single. Then you're gonna be single longer because of that. Because
Now you got more healing you need to get. Because you're bitter now. Because now you. I mean, I got a family member like that where all men is just one way. You know, and that's just how they are because of.
They don't come in different shapes and sizes.
Different shapes and sizes of bullshit. That's what she said.
I saw a meme the other day that said something like what you told me. She said, all men are this way. And the meme was like, nobody told you to try them all.
It's good because either you tried them all or it's just an eye opener that you ain't tried them all. There is somebody out there who is for you, but. You got to get rid of that bitterness first. So let me ask, do y'all think that a woman, just tell us, what are some of the things that can go wrong when a woman doesn't prepare herself for marriage?
Ooh, that was a really good question.
Just a long road.
She said a long road to divorce. You said that like that road is not gonna be a nice road either.
How could it be?
It is not.
Oh wow. Oh God. Don't be quiet.
Go somewhere with this. Look at your clothes. Tell us. Bring us to where you are.
Okay. Someone who's not prepared. Okay, I'm gonna go back to my list here because there are some things on here that will really answer that. Okay, first, marriage is a selfless thing.
Yes. Mm,
that's good.
You have to be willing to give just as much as you want to receive.
Come on, that's good. That's
if not good. More.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not even in that mindset, that's already gonna set you up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Your vows. Have you even thought about what the vows say?
Yeah.
Are you going to take those vows seriously?
That's really good.
One example, to forsake all others. Mm-hmm. What does that really mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, you got God first. Who's next? Your spouse.
Come on.
Your spouse is next. That's supposed to be the order of things.
Right.
Not the kids.
Not the kids.
And once the kids leave home, it's going to be you and your spouse anyway, if you make it that long.
Absolutely.
So you've got that. You've got to consider your vows. If you've not considered that, that's already something else that's going to make it a long road for you. Asking yourself, even, are you equally yoked with the person that you're looking at?
Ooh.
Are you equally yoked? Mm. Or have you even looked at all sides of this person?
You're scratching that off the list, too.
You're
taking everything off your list.
But if you have literally, how long have you known your person? Or how much do you truly know about this person? Do you know their spirit? Do you know their heart? How much do you know? And the question about how much you know is super important because if you don't know all sides, you don't even know if you're willing to deal with all sides of this partner.
Mm-hmm.
And you about to say, I do.
Right.
Forever. So I'm just saying, these are just a few things that can truly go wrong and make this a long bad path for anybody wanting to get married that's not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these are things that you just, I would say that you kind of think about. I mean, you even want to ask yourself about the person's beliefs.
But what does their beliefs matter
if you don't know your own? It goes back to knowing yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to have a strong foundation within yourself before you can even consider the next person.
Hmm.
It goes right back to knowing yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told y'all I was going in to grab all the popcorn, grab your spouse. I told him that before. Real quick. Shout out to Jacqueline, Jay, we see you. Shout out to Leo Nelson tuning in. We appreciate it. Now I got to get back to the show.
So continue with the equally yoked portion. How does that person raise their kids? If you have children, you really want to consider that because now you're saying I do. You're bringing the blended family together and you don't even have the same ideals and values on how you should bring up your children.
Right.
How much do you know about their children?
How much do you know?
Are you willing to parent their children?
Wow.
Come
Come on.
That's a really good one.
You asked some good questions here.
Really, really good.
But these are things that you got to think about, because when you get to the thick of it, it's too late.
It's too late.
Now you're stuck in catch-up mode.
You got 2 months before it's really too late after you say I do.
Is that the time of
no man? Yeah, time of no man. You got two. Oh, no.
That's where we're going.
Months, wow. I tried when I first got married.
Well, you tried.
I tried. You know what I'm saying? Really? Like the 50th day in, I was like, yo, I can't do this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Hey, we should have said that on the men's show. That would have been dope, that. Yeah. So we didn't talk about that.
I didn't either. Yeah. You got 2 months before it become official.
Wow.
It's going to cost some paper to get out of this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. You can put them coins
but
in.
But yeah. And then you want to also think about what are your ideals about life in general? Where do you see yourself, even after the children are raised and they're gone and doing their thing, they've started their lives? Do you all have the same interest for real? What is your life going to look like with this person 5-10 years down the line? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do y'all have the same growth? Do y'all, meaning, are y'all going to grow together or are y'all going to grow apart?
That's good.
So, awesome.
Okay, I'm done. Awesome. I
love it. I love it.
I'm done for now.
We get what we ask for, Pudge. We get what we ask for.
Yes. Nobody can see me. Oh, you just saw me do it. Oh, my gosh. Interruption. People, I really did work today. I got a whole hole on the right side of my shirt that everybody's been looking at since they
we keeping it real, real on this
show. And I just looked at it. I looked at it and was like, is that a hole? And then I looked at it and you see me touching it. I'm like, that's a whole hole. I'm sorry, guys. I'll do better.
May that get us some sponsors, Pudge.
May that
get
us
some sponsors. Yes, may that get some sponsors.
We get some crosstalk shirts in here without holes in them.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Man, yeah, that's some good stuff.
So do y'all anybody else want to add to?
No, that was good.
Okay.
Okay, well, I can add one more thing. What is your mindset when you get ready to go in? Meaning, are you going into this relationship knowing yourself and knowing that you feel like, oh man, I gotta change that. He gonna have to change on this, but it's gonna be all right. It can change. Are you ignoring the red flags?
Yes,
both women.
Come on, let's talk about the red flags.
Let's get mad now.
And the red flags.
The red flags that's waving like this. Come on. My girl Sammy told me this, but the flags is waving like this before you get married. They're gonna be slapping you in the face by the time you say I do. It magnifies for some reason after the marriage. It does.
Wow.
So I mean, but yeah. Oh, Lord, I can go so far.
Push, they clowning you, man. That's funny.
They are?
Just be like...
It's too big. Oh, just why you had to say...
big, too.
Really, just...
Exactly. Like, that's a hole.
Really, just... Jackie, did you really say it's a whole hole?
Yeah, man.
And these are my personal friends, too. Like, really, really...
That's funny.
It's all good. It's all good.
Oh, okay. One more.
Keep on saying one more.
I know. Okay, all right.
And another one.
Okay, so... We was talking about this at work, because I posed this question at work today, too. I wanted to get a lot of people's input. This is via Tammy. Start in a way that you can finish.
I like that.
That's really good.
Talk about it. I like that.
If you can't see yourself doing A, B, C, X, Y, Z in the end, Don't you start doing it in the beginning.
Don't be cooking every day. You know you're not cooking every day when you get married.
Because he's going to look around and be like, you done sold me a lemon. Come on, this is not what I expected. Because you sold a picture that you weren't willing to keep up.
Right, right.
And now, even if you're trying to keep up what you started in the beginning, now you're putting yourself through turmoil because you're now compromising on something that you are not willing to do for real.
Oh, that's good.
And as time goes, resentment grows, all types of other things start to boil up and manifest because you couldn't be true to yourself and you didn't tell the truth to your spouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's a lot.
But to add to that, take care of yourself. Because sometimes when you get married, we just get sloppy because we in love. And there's nothing wrong with that. But can you take care of yourself for yourself? Not because this is what he wants, because sometimes we make it, well, I'm doing everything for him, or I'm doing everything for her, and then when it boils down, it's like, I don't want to do none of this stuff. I didn't like it. Like, it's a compromise. It's a, now I'm doing stuff that I don't want to do, and then now I'm becoming bitter, or I'm becoming angry because I didn't want to do this. I was just trying to keep you. When, in the end of the day, I really just needed to work on myself to keep this relationship. So take care of yourself, ladies. And that's talking about personal hygiene, too. Okay? We got to tap into that. We're going to tap into that just for like 3 seconds.
All right, let's roll.
You might need
it.
To say that a little bit longer.
Let's take care of your personal hygiene. Because I be like, now this is what my mama told me. You smell yourself before anybody else smells you. But some of these females, I be like, do you not smell this?
You're immune to it.
You need to go to the gynecologist.
Wow.
make an appointment. Yeah. Because something is wrong.
Yeah.
And a man does not like to be laying next to nobody in the bed smelling like who shot John.
Heard that before.
The
who
we
shot John?
So,
yeah. Either way, but we know. I don't want to shot my man next to you. So
right. Take care of yourself for real, because that is embarrassing. Like not just to him, but to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing. Like make sure you doing what you need to do.
That's good. I just I'm just stuck on like the. Like, you can't smell yourself. You know? But I mean, I'm sure it is people out there who, you know.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't want to flip the show.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, because I'm like, okay, so what about those people that are from our motherland? They don't believe in deodorant.
Right, but that's something totally different, though.
Okay.
That's something totally different.
Because, Brenda, what was you going to say? Look at Brenda's face.
No, I'm saying, like, if that's their culture, that's something different.
But actually, deodorant stinks to them. Like cologne stuff like that smells
But if we, if I know that,
that's what I was going to say. That's also, you know what you're getting into when you go in. If that's their culture, that's their, you already know that.
Right.
But deodorant and washing is two different things.
Have you ever been around somebody who hasn't worn any type of deodorant in like 3 months? Like I don't know. Trust me, I have.
I guessed it a couple times.
Well, no, what I'm saying is I have. When I was married, we went through this whole health thing where we wasn't going to use nothing. We was on the health deodorants.
They don't work.
They last for about a hot 20 minutes.
They last for about a hot 20 minutes.
They don't work. I'm walking around with extra deodorant in my purse
because I can't take it. This is not right.
They don't work for black folks anyway. They don't work for us. So, but my whole thing was, is now I have this thing and I'm straight about to tell on myself. So in the wintertime, I don't wear deodorant.
I don't have to either.
Because it causes Alzheimer's. Like, deodorant causes Alzheimer's.
The aluminum inside deodorant causes Alzheimer's.
That's
the antiperspirant
kind. Yeah. So in the wintertime, I don't wear deodorant because I don't perspire like that to where you can smell me. Right. In the summertime, it's bad.
If I don't leave out the house,
I don't wear it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, like, I have been around, like, an African where... They don't believe, like, I get around him, he telling me I smell bad. And I was like, bro, if you can only see what you smell like. But he don't wear none at all. So, like, he comes, it's almost like somebody who stepped in a room with too much cologne or too much perfume.
It's too much must.
It's too much must. And I'm talking about, I ain't talking about the must, the smell good must. I'm talking about the real human
must with a
body odor must. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I mean, but literally, it's there. But now here's what I find. I do find this sexy. It ain't the opposite of terrible. I find it real sexy that the women in Africa are highly turned on by the musty you are, the more of a man that they say you are.
I'm sorry, I did not mean that.
You did. I saw you do it.
Is that what you think, babe?
Yeah, I know y'all. All y'all Americanized. So I don't expect y'all to find that.
Maybe you fresh off of work. I could see that.
Right.
But the more. Nah.
See. Well,
I can take the sweat.
You got to study.
But if you funky,
they funky every day. They funky well, yeah. musty every day.
But then at that point, it's not funky to them. It's just...
Yeah, it's just the normal natural right. smell. But what I'm saying is, we all black. We come from this. Uh-huh. This is something...
No,
but I'm going to put on deodorant, though.
I'm listening. Right. I'm listening.
But I'm going to put on deodorant.
That was... Uh-huh. Still not right. Still wearing deodorant. I'm going to put on deodorant. That's what her uh-huh said.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, Pudge, I kind of had a similar thought until I smelled it. I actually, in my mind, smelling a woman's musk would be kind of sexy until I smelled it. Smells like a man.
Yeah.
I was wow. actually offended. Now, like, you so, what the hell? Why?
Now, I'm not going to lie. Oh, gosh, I'm about to, you know what? I don't care if y'all think
it's cross talk.
I don't care if y'all think I'm weird. If I'm weird, it's okay. Think it's okay. Weird. Great, great. Awesome. I can say this with no problem, Dan. I didn't know how, and this is just, those who know me know that I have a lion instinct and I have a certain nose. I can, the scent. And I smelt the woman who was mustard in the mug and was instantly turned on. Hmm. Yeah, I know y'all quiet. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm probably get a whole bunch of Josie on that right here. But my personal belief, we all have an animal instinct. And if you're really in tune with your animal instinct, your instincts will respond.
I had the instinct until I smelt it. Cause I'm feeling like, yo, woman, why? I didn't say it. I'm thinking, yo, woman, why are you smiling like
and
that?
And I guess because I did the research on my personal ancestors, so I know where we come from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know, I know if I was to go to Africa and not wear no deodorant for like 3 weeks, I'm the bomb up there. I'm the king. Why you look? You smell like dirt musk. So, just because you got on deodorant. So you know what I'm saying? You trying to be funny?
What's she saying?
When I'm gonna go visit. As soon as I get the money.
If you're watching from Africa,
check me out. My hole and all, right. Check me out. I'm halfway ready to get there. I got the hole and everything. I'm halfway ready.
There you go. Yeah, we gotta get back to the show though.
I told you I was gonna flip the show with that.
Okay,
with
so I want to ask this because you kind of brought it up.
Okay.
Because you said when he was talking about the musty.
Woman.
Uh-huh.
We still on this.
No. Yes. But you said, you a woman, you shouldn't be musty.
What did you say?
You're so pretty. Why are you
saying that?
I didn't say that's what I was thinking.
But you still said
it in your mind. Yeah, I did. I'm going
to jump on him too.
What expectations do men have for women?
For me, I just think... I guess in a sense, it's like men had this idea that women's farts don't stink. So my expectation was a woman should smell like soft, nice,
like flowers.
Roses and petals,
or nothing. Or nothing. Yeah. But not must. Yeah. Not like a musty construction worker. Like, okay. Like, is that yours for me? Oh my God, it's you?
Yeah. Now,
I'm checking my deal.
If anybody.
Baby, I need you to go take a bath.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be okay.
Right.
Thank you for loving me.
Right.
Thank you for loving me.
That's it.
Right. I didn't think women farted until I was 12.
Wow.
And my sister passed gas in the car, and I was like, why does it sound like this? Like, I was the only boy in the car. And my sister was like, I passed gas. I was like, y'all don't do that. And my mom was like, who told you that women don't do that?
Right. So
like, it's just like I do. But I don't know why in my mind. I guess because y'all ladies.
Yeah,
it's almost like
to be soft and opposite of a man. Yeah, we don't want y'all to right. think about when men fart and it must be, that's kind of understandable. We expect that to an extent.
Right.
But women, we like, y'all can't do. Y'all are different. Y'all are better than, we want y'all to be better than
exactly.
us.
Exactly. It's like, I can't stand a hairy leg woman. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we the hairy dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be snuggling with you and we both rub our legs and you can't tell whose leg is what.
Oh, my God.
That's a natural problem.
You got so much. You got so much
hair. These legs you
that goes back to the hygiene part.
No. I've met women where they don't believe in shaving their legs.
Mm-hmm. They are too.
But they are very, I mean, they keep themselves up. Hygiene all the way up. But that shaving part, they just don't believe
Some
in
Some dudes
that.
Like that. I don't think I like it. I can handle it over facial hair.
I'm grossed out by it. I can't do it. And I know I'm weird. I like musty smell from a woman, but I'm grossed out by hairy legs. Hey,
but you don't want a manly woman.
We all do. All I heard was man. I didn't hear the woman. I didn't hear the lead woman going. All I heard was badly. See, I turned down my step. Nigga, we finna talk. Show, man. Don't don't do that to me. We live in Atlanta, bro. Right. I can't have nobody thinking that they're correct, bro.
Manly woman. Woman.
I don't want no studly manly woman. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I don't want no studly manly woman. But I mean, I need an aggressive woman, though. You can be aggressive, you know what I'm saying? But, with, you know, your tone and your manners, not with the hair all on your legs. Yeah. That's not aggressive to me.
That's just nasty.
But the must is aggressive.
No, it's not. Look, I didn't know it was a turn on. Yo, it just hit me. I don't know what to say about that. I'm in tune with my animals. I don't know about y'all. That's what it's saying to me.
I hate much. Okay, ladies, back to your show. We double punching the hairy leg.
It's not like that was the bulk of the show.
You sound like you're going to turn to a Christian Mingle.
Well, he's told you guys what he likes. Okay. Yeah. And he's so single.
If you fit those descriptions, and you musty and with shaved legs, email crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. We'll screen it.
Don't listen to them.
We help you out, bud.
You can look, be led of the Lord if you hit up my inbox.
To our email. And we'll decide whether you let us or not.
He gonna do all the responding.
I'm gonna do all the laughing.
Real sarcastic response. You
gonna screen it?
Screenshot and send it to all y'all. Be laughing.
Yeah. We gotta approve.
It's so dirty.
It's
so dirty.
Oh, man. All right, TJ, we gotta go back to you.
Back to me. What did I say?
Nothing. But we gotta get you talking. Yeah. Because you said something on my post. I really appreciate. You said I'm good at asking the tough questions in hilarious ways.
Yep.
So, talk to us.
But what does the post have?
It just made me think about it. Maybe, like, get back to you. Like, okay, you appreciate that kind of stuff. So, what's on you?
Well, I will basically read what's here. Figure out what your triggers and your no-nos are. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, and your trauma. Like, what you've endured, I think, is very important that your mate knows before getting married. Mm. Because I'll give an example. Allie, which y'all know, that guy over there, he had a thing where he did not like a certain look I would give him. Now, I don't do it now, but I used to. I guess the look was of disapproval or bothered or attitude. Yeah. I'm one that doesn't like to always address things right away, so I might give you a look. And that look made him feel how other people made him feel in his past. Mm. And so it would make him feel a way. And I didn't know. We would end up in big arguments, and I'm trying to figure out where we went left. And it took us really conversing to realize, oh, you don't like when I look at you like that. And so I said that it may sound small to somebody else. However, it caused a lot of issues. So you have to figure out what are your triggers. Mm-hmm. If you don't like certain words, and of course, I know he's going to go somewhere and say something about healing. That's what we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
You need to be healed from the past of certain words. That's what he just said.
I agree.
And I agree. But until then, you got to love that person and be. That's why you know what you're dealing with going forward. Mm-hmm. If I tell you I don't like something and you sense, okay, that's an incorrect spirit or she's dealing with this or this past, you now know what you're jumping into.
And I agree 100% with you. But that's why I wanted. That's why I say.
Some of these are just plain out spirits.
Mm-hmm. Honesty. They have to say that stuff up front. Women have to say that stuff up front. Don't have us down the road finding out that you're crazy underneath. I want
men
to see the crazy up front.
Because some of these men's triggers.
We on the women.
We did the women.
I'm just saying, it's only natural that I say,
We on the women.
You know what happened, Pudge? We hit a trigger, didn't we?
Oh, perfect example. You talked about triggers and what just happened.
Your triggers is what?
Your triggers is. But look,
okay, I will address the trigger because it's true. I don't believe in double standards.
I don't either.
So, if it's possible for a man to do it, then a woman can do it too. Now, don't get me wrong. I do feel like, you know, there are different places, especially when it comes to spiritual hierarchy, and that's a whole other conversation. Right. However, there are women who are a little cray-cray, and there are men that are a little cray-cray.
Oh, we know that. We never said that.
Look, so
what it sound like? It sound like Black Lives Matter versus the All Lives Matter.
No, we said
women.
Like
she's like, what about the men?
Right.
We talk about women. We brought women in. What about the men?
This show's about the women, but now I want to talk about the men for this.
That's what just happened.
But look. But yeah. Somebody responded yesterday who we going to give a shout out to later, which is Crystal Sally. Her response was being mentally and spiritually ready to deal with the spouse that may not be on the same level as you. Being willing to learn from the spouse. I know we like to think we're always right, but sometimes we're wrong. Wow. What y'all feel about that?
I like your reaction, but I don't know what it meant. She's right. I don't know if she really agreed with it. Right.
She does, read it again. Read it again. I'm gonna answer. You read it again.
All right. So, what do women? What do name things that you need to prepare for before marriage? Her response was, being mentally and spiritually ready to deal with a spouse that may not be on the same level as you. Being willing to learn from your spouse. I know women like to think we're always right, but sometimes we're wrong.
Oh, I don't like to think.
Okay. Well, I'm with her on that one. I don't think I'm always right. I'm actually very quick to apologize when I realize I've done and I'm just off. It happens. I'm off sometimes more than I'd like to admit. Mm-hmm. But I do appreciate being able to learn from Steph. He teaches me things all the time, but that's also one of the things that I kind of required. I had it on my list. My man got to be able to teach rock with me and teach me. I got to be able to learn from him as well as he be able to learn from me.
Right. That's right.
So that was kind of a give and take that I had kind of pre-marriage.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, with the physically and mentally, because I have something on mind as well about that just a little bit. But it depends on how much and how or where are you of that before you said I do. Mm-hmm. Because you got to be. It kind of goes back to knowing what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I mean, true, you're not going to know all before you get married. But at least if you've done enough of your homework, enough prayer, enough diligence, due diligence, you'll at least have some clue in to what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And if that's an actual issue, let's just go plain, you know, make it plain. If your man is not exactly book smart and that's something that you feel like you got to have, bother. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, if you're not willing to deal with that, at least you know ahead of time. You got to know certain. You got to be able to do your homework for what you know you're willing to deal with. Right. That's how I see the answer to that.
And I have an example of that. So I asked my husband questions like every Friday before we got married. He knew when he came to see me, he was about to get a list of questions.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Let me ask you this: mm-hmm. When was he coming to see you as your patient?
No.
Every Friday.
That's
so funny.
I
cannot cross that boundary.
It's not an appointment.
But he started off as patient.
Every Friday.
No. She's talking about after I go ahead and counsel him, I'm finna ask him my own questions.
No. So, we only see each other like on the weekends because of where we live. But every Friday was the day. Like, he knew I was going to ask him questions. So then I would be like, oh, and I'm not just going to ask you these questions. I'm going to ask your family because I want to see if you would be lying because I don't want to like get into a relationship with anybody else anymore and you lied or it's not going to be what you said it's going to be. And it goes back to that. Like, I needed to know. Now, I'm the professional student. I'm going all the way to get my PhD. My husband don't care nothing about that. But does that mean we're not on the same level because I got 15 million degrees and he doesn't? No, that doesn't take away from who he is. Yeah. And so a lot of times it's like, when she said the level, I'm like, well, what level are we talking about?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Because
I think she's referring to maturity, though. Because sometimes us as women, we take on projects and we think that we can make a man a man.
Come on, that's good.
I think that's where she was coming from.
You're speaking to him now.
Because unfortunately, we think, okay, well, he don't know how to budget a household. I can teach him.
Yeah, right.
He don't know how to do this. I can teach him. Mm-hmm. This ain't build a man.
Right.
And so we think that we can
build a man. I like that.
Yeah, like we really.
I don't think. Wait, go back and say that because I don't think they heard you.
Come on here.
We heard you.
I heard it.
Right.
So I can't. Inside the man. I can't put the stuff inside.
No, some of that gotta come prepackaged.
Come on.
But it depends on what your values are. Like, if you start off and you want someone that's gonna start off with you and y'all learn as y'all grow and that's your thing, mm-hmm. cool. But if you get to a certain level after a certain age, you like you gotta at least be able to do this, mm-hmm. this. Now, okay, if you don't and you're willing to learn, that's a good thing too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But everybody ain't willing to learn, or they start wanting to learn, and then they forget everything.
Right. I mean, and it's the willingness with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, am I willing to accept this or not?
Ooh. A lot of times when people get married young, I see that. I see how, you know, you get into a position and, you know, that's a lot of times where people end up growing apart because you're young, you don't really know yourself for real, but you end up in these situations, you think you can fix, you think you look, you think it is build a man and build a woman, you get into these positions and it's not what it is, and then 5 years down the line, y'all looking at each other crazy because it's not what's up. It's not what you thought. It's not.
And you drained as I don't know what. Right. You're trying to do all the building. Where every time you build something, he or she knock a brick back down because they don't want to be built.
Because
you
they don't even take the brick from the top.
You
take it from the middle.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's just what I mean. Take it from the middle. That's just what I mean.
Because you ignore those red flags.
Yeah. And it's all because of the red flags.
You really ignore those red flags because I just want a man.
Okay, so when we get to a certain age and a certain level of maturity, it really does boil down to this is what I need.
Yes.
If you come with a portion of that and you are willing, I can rock
come
with
on,
you.
I can rock
you know
with
what I'm saying? Yep. We can build some things. We can do this. Mm-hmm. But that willingness has to be there. Yeah. It has to be there.
You just said something about age. Mm-hmm. Somebody said this to me when I was 18 years old because this is not my first marriage. And she said to me, you're not old enough. And I hated that thought. Mm-hmm. Now, I know some 18-year-olds and y'all still together. Hey, that's great. But what I realized, the same person I was at 18 wasn't the same person I was at 25.
Exactly.
And the same
that's
person
exactly
at 25.
Exactly what it is. You know what
I'm not the same this. One I am
exactly
at 31.
Exactly.
And so now.
Can you repeat that thought?
I don't know what I said.
About your age.
The 18
you're
part.
Not,
the 18
yeah,
part.
You're not the same person at 18.
Come on.
When you get 25, you're not that same
not
person.
Exactly.
And if you don't have someone who is mature, back to what she just said, the levels, if you don't have someone that is mature enough to grow with you and understand that things change, then you will find yourself kind of stuck because that person's still at 18 and mm-hmm. you done graduated mm-hmm. to 25. Mm-hmm. So it's very important.
Yeah, I have that same experience. I definitely understand where you're going with that because I got married when I was 18 and I had people telling me, like I had an aunt, my shout out to Aunt Felicia. She was the only one that was really real with me. Everybody else was just like, you don't need to get married. You don't need to get married. But why? I love him. I love him.
See,
like,
and I
don't, you know,
opposite.
But at the same time, did I really even know what love was? Yeah. Did I truly know? I didn't truly
I
know myself.
This.
I didn't know so much, but I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
But my Aunt Felicia was like, she was straight up like, I know you go to church and everything, and I know what the preacher told you, but do we even know how to? I was just
come
like,
on.
Oh wow!
I was like, I
was
auntie
was real.
Auntie was real.
Thank you.
Auntie was like, but Brenda, I tell you what, I pay for you to go to college for a year if you promise not to marry him yet. If he's for you, he'll wait. Hard-headed me, you know what I'm saying? But I went through the hard stuff because I'm so in love. I so want to do this. This is my man. This is what we finna do. You know what I'm saying? But that was the 18-year-old me. By the time I had my first and second kid, I was looking like, I grew up. Where you at?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So where you at as far as like why he ain't grew up yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't understand the differences. I didn't understand that women mature faster than men in a lot of areas. I didn't understand the dynamics that came with the marriage. Even though I got counseling, I had a great idea of what I was getting into, mm-hmm. but I really just didn't know.
Wow.
And like you just said, you didn't know that you didn't know. And so I dealt where family was like, oh, we gonna help you through it. We gonna counsel y'all and blah, blah, blah. And then I had that one. Shout out to Misha. I love you to life. You know, she literally was like, ma'am, what are you doing? You're 18. What are you doing? Like, your whole life has just started. Yeah. You just got out of high school. I love him. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, because I was in church, I didn't want to be kicked off the praise team and this, and
girl,
this, that, down,
you
and this,
speaking,
this.
You speaking now.
I was the opposite.
You really speaking
kick
now.
That was me. That was me. That was me, right? That was
care.
Me all day
care.
Long.
I don't care. Jesus still love me.
Right.
And
y'all ain't got
to
love me, but he do.
But that's the thing. At the time, I was in a strict church. So I'm with you on that one. I actually really did care about what does God really think right now. And I wasn't in the Bible for myself the way I should have been.
Right.
So all I hear is, you shouldn't be doing that because God don't like this and God don't like that.
Right.
And you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't
right.
do that. But what can I do?
Right.
Like, I'm trying to do it the right way so that I am okay with God. I'm getting married. I'm tired of screwing in somebody's house because I done freaking...
I'm just saying
because when you that young and you don't have your own yet, you do what you gotta do. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing
side
is,
of the house, cars.
Right.
On top of the car.
Come on here, T.
This turned to a different show. It's really getting real and raw for real.
But this show bang. You know what I'm saying?
You're gonna do what you're gonna do.
You're gonna do what you're gonna do. But I love God. I'm trying to do right. Come on. I'm finna get married.
Yep.
I'm gonna get married. I wanna do it the right way.
And you need to date. You need to figure out if that person even understands and values the same thing you do. Because I found that my ex-husband, although he loved me very much, and I still believe he loved me for real, he did not love all that I came with ministerial and being in my family's church and all that came with. It was like a man not supposed to, you're not supposed to let him. So I went into this controlling mode. We not gonna
but
do
you
this.
It first. Go ahead.
You know what? I am woman enough to, you know, admit my fault. Okay? So I did definitely agree, but no, seriously. And so, I just agree with you, man. Slow down. If you not sure, there's like one question. You like it's gnawing at you. Slow it.
Especially
down.
If you don't have the answer, and it's just this gut. There's just something in your gut.
That's your Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a question.
Well, not everybody not
and I just knew one of y'all was going to say this, but y'all didn't.
Well, hold on. We still got stuff. So just wait. Because I'm just saying.
Okay. But go ahead. What you saying?
No.
She's like, no. She's like, no.
She's like, all my stuff.
I'm sorry.
Ask your question.
I got a question.
I
want to
know.
Should a woman even be thinking about marriage if she doesn't know how to be submissive?
Ooh.
I say,
of course, we say that. Of course, and that's an easy answer for me.
Yeah.
But I'm asking the women because I've had a certain friend of mine. She asked me. Oh, okay, go ahead.
I'm saying yes.
Please expound.
Just because, okay, you said if she's not submissive,
like should a woman still be preparing themselves for marriage? If they're not submissive, and I understand it's kind of a blanket, it's kind of broad, so I don't really want to narrow it down, but I just, it's the whole, and then how do y'all feel about women preparing themselves, women learning how to be submissive before they get married? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
Let me tell you something. If that man is right, your body gonna, and you gonna submit naturally.
Come on here.
Give me
tea. It's high fives going around.
Because I was even gonna say, who am I being submissive to?
That's where I'm going. I'm not with nobody.
If we get in a relationship, then yes, if we've already had this conversation that this relationship is going to lead to marriage, then as a woman, our whole demeanor changes.
Okay, yes. So it leads back to my original question. So should a woman be thinking about, should she still be preparing herself for marriage if she does not know how to be submissive?
We're always preparing ourselves.
Preparing for marriage, absolutely. That would be the preparation. Okay, yeah. I need to learn how to submit. Mm-hmm. Why am I not submitting? What about this, whoever I'm dating, dealing with, rocking with, situationship, mm-hmm. whatever you got going, why can't I submit to this person? Mm-hmm. Okay, he don't do this, he don't do that. So I'm still preparing. Should I get married and I can't be submissive?
That's a whole different question.
Talk to the women, because I know a dump trunk load of women who don't believe in submitting. Talk to them.
But she got to have that.
I'm just going to interject. One thing. It depends on what your definition of submission
is. Come on. What definitions we got?
Because women have different definitions as well. That is true. Okay, you know what? I have my definition.
Some men like to be submissive too, but that's a whole other conversation.
Why you keep bringing up the men? This is not the men's episode.
We know our lives matter. You missed what I'm saying though.
Because some men like to be dominated, so that means her mindset doesn't need to be on submission. She needs to be the leader. Because that's what he wants. That's what I'm saying.
I ain't gonna need my whole mouth gonna turn ugly on that.
I mean, that's okay.
You
think maybe deep down inside?
Yeah, that's some gay shit to me.
You done cut some cross talk before.
I wouldn't expect to be here like that.
Wait, now y'all just call a part of real me. So now I got a real question. Oh, when you're done. I can hold my... Matter of fact, let me write it.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
I mean, so what you guys didn't hear, y'all might have heard the cuss word, but what he was saying... Okay, so I got a question. If a man likes to be submissive in the bedroom, rather she like crawl to me, whatever, that's gay?
No, no. I have my own thing. So my thing is,
I don't think
like,
he meant homosexual. I think he meant gay as in feminine.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. There you go. Like, but my thing is, I ain't knocking nobody. But if my, but here's my thing. But if every time we go into the bedroom,
oh, that's all you want.
You on your knee, hit the man on your knee, tell him, let me crawl to you, baby. Next thing you know, he gonna want a dildo when that dude not in the area.
Yo,
I was about to spit this water out of
here. I'm just saying. Yeah. Look, what y'all ladies say in the beginning? Pay attention to the red flags.
Yes. And we in Atlanta.
Cause the first thing, cause the first thing you need to be finding out, did you do some time?
Come
on here now. That's one of the symptoms, yo.
Hey, you right.
Have you did some time, bruh?
No, but I'm.
Now, if we role playing, that's something
different.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah, role
playing. But if we not role playing,
hold on.
Get
up. Even.
By the way, I don't.
Come on, bruh. Come on, bruh.
By the way, I don't make him crawl.
Come on.
Oh my God! Look. For the people who are just listening to this, you want to go back and watch the live.
Yeah.
Oh God, you got to go back and see some of the stuff that's actually happened.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, even if it's an every now and then thing, that's cool. But it's, if it's every time, because to me, even a dominant woman is going to be like, dang, but could you be a man sometime in the bedroom?
I agree.
I feel like a woman going to get eventually tired of that. Like, I want to be, can I be spanked tonight?
Come
on
here.
Can
you top me up tonight?
Come on here.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, if we're doing it to you every day, this is a set. I'm going to have a session.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on now.
Go put them on
and now you're a therapy call.
Right.
I'm a
session. Okay. And I didn't talk about this. Because this ain't it.
Yeah, that's all.
Can we talk about love languages, though?
Yes.
We already had an episode on that.
Yeah, you can go back and watch the episode. It's about a year ago.
And I know you guys touched it, but what I mean, going back to preparing for marriage.
Yes.
I have found, and I was actually counseling somebody today, and I was teaching her man's love language, because it's the same thing as mine, which is physical touch. Where hers is words of affirmation, like my husband's. So we were literally dialoguing about the differences between that and not loving your spouse by your love language.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Not by your love language, but by their love language.
Amen. I agree. Yeah.
I think that is very essential. Yeah. I think that is so important.
And when you don't, so if mine is physical touch and you don't touch me, that's telling me that you don't love me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's so it's with important. That. So don't think because yours is touching, there's this affirmations that because you're touching, that's how you're touching. No.
Yeah.
That's a part of that being that selfish and not being willing to even learn and understand the other person.
But that's what love is anyway.
Yes.
Love is giving yourself away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Selfless.
Selfless.
Yeah.
I've learned that if the person you with, you don't speak their love language naturally, you have to fall in love with their love language to where it doesn't become like
a chore.
Oh, damn, I'm gonna go ahead and get a girl some flowers a day. Like you just off rip, it's just become a second thought because you love doing it. And because me, I used to show people my love language and expect them to give me my love language back because that's what I would.
But that's how I used to be too. So I understand that.
It took me to read the actual book and then get some teaching from my mother to really understand that. You're giving people what you want in return, which is nothing wrong with that. But
that's not what they need.
Exactly. Right. So I had to learn. I had to learn to like give the woman her actual love language. Right. But my situation would be so effed up. I give her all her love language, and niggas still over here starving for physical touch. So I'm like, but that's just a personal issue. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a double back to in preparing for men, just because you know she kept bringing the men up. So brothers. You know, and one more additive, like find a woman that speak your love language or be okay with speaking hers and knowing that she can at least grow to speak yours. But if you I'm saying my thing is if she's willing to grow, because my thing is you have people that are willing, you have people that are not willing. I can work with a willing vessel. I actually can. If you're really truly willing.
But willing is not just a state of mind. It is an action word.
That's what I meant.
It is.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. And
no, because some people think that just saying, oh, I'm willing to learn, teach me is enough.
Oh, no, you got to.
No.
You gotta
that's not, it's not willing if
do
you're
the
not
work.
Willing.
Exactly. Actions is the willing is what yeah. I'm talking about.
And when mm-hmm. we think about love, like I really did a study on that, like love is an intense action word. Mm-hmm. So it yes. just cannot be, no, I love you. It's everything has to go into me showing that person that I genuinely love and care for them. Mm-hmm. And when I don't do that, I can't expect for them to do that back to
right,
me.
Right.
And sometimes we just have an expectation of this is what I'm getting out and I think it should be the same thing in return, or I'm not going to give that back to you in return. And that's where people struggle with intimacy. Mm. I'm always saying, Lord, teach me to remain open and vulnerable to my husband, because if not, it's easy to be like, oh, your love language is physical touch. Like, can we just, especially if that's not your love language, mm-hmm. like you were saying, mm-hmm. it becomes a dread when mm-hmm. you shouldn't, that shouldn't be that, yeah, that shouldn't be right. the case.
And one of the things I realized is that your love languages can actually change.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't yes. realize yeah. that in the beginning. Yeah. In the beginning, from the when Steph and I first started dating, the love languages that I knew I had from when I previously did the test, mm-hmm. things that I understood about myself, we had the exact same love languages, mm-hmm. which was freaking
dope.
Phenomenal.
It was amazing.
But over time, it's like, yeah, I don't need physical touch that much anymore. But I didn't realize that it was shifting, and mm-hmm. probably because at one point physical touch was lacking so much mm-hmm. that it was, I was like crying out for it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, amazing. Yeah, but now it's changed. You know, words of affirmation and things mm-hmm. like that are more at the top of the list right. than some of the others. Right. So it's just like, it's still about knowing yourself. You still got to know mm-hmm. and I guess you could say study your partner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to really constantly keep, just keep up with things.
Mm-hmm. And now, I know we haven't brought it up, but I'm going to bring it up. You have to talk about sex.
Let's talk about it.
Only because I'm saying.
In the relationship?
Yeah, yeah, in the relationship. Yeah, but I'm saying, as a woman is preparing for marriage, because what if she is a virgin? And she's never been intimate at all.
That does happen. Believe it or not, how rare it might sound, it does happen.
It does. That's a conversation to have.
Yeah.
What if I do have children? And you don't have children, and so I'm more sexually active than you, or vice versa. Or what if you have some hoish tendencies? And mm-hmm. so, like, how are all these things going to play into our marriage?
Right.
Because it is going to affect you. Whether you want to say it or not. And even if I've had a traumatizing sexual experience, like if somebody was raped or molested, like how is that going to affect them being intimate with mm-hmm. their spouse?
Girl, you all in my head. You all in my, I mean, literally when I say I have I do what women do. Like I have an application when I'm talking to women on the phone. I ask, and I like to dig into your past. Because your past is who you are, is what made you who you are right now.
I get that.
Now, the huge red flag is when somebody don't never want to talk about their past. I can't do nothing with you. Because my thing is, there is something that really messed you up in your past where you don't even want to go there. And me, just with the calling on my life, I can't, this order, it'll never go right with me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm always trying to fix, and then I'm a fixer, which I don't like about myself, but I am. I'm a fixer. So I run into a lot of broken women. You know, it just is what it is. But it's like, if you don't even want to talk about, like, I mean, talking about your past and then talking about the physical part. So, I ain't going to talk about my marriage, but I'm like, that's one of the key things. Like, I need to know about your sex history. And I don't care about how many people you done been with, nothing like that. Do you like to have sex, and do you like to have it often? Because if you don't, we ain't going to ever work. Like, physical touch is my language, and it's going to always be number one. Mine switched up like yours did, but you just helped me realize mine was switching up because of what I was going through in my marriage.
Yeah.
Because mine was physical touch, but words of affirmation became the top for a long time, but only because of what was going on in my home.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once I got out of that, physical touch went right back to, it's the natural number one. So I realized that I'm like, I have to know going in, what's your sex life like? And if it's one of them things where you're not having sex because of the Lord, that's dope, you know. But, because I'm going through and I just don't. You're holding on with red flags for me, boo. Because my thing is, my next question is going to be, so how you dealing with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. are you working on that? Are you just cool with where you are? And I don't let people know that I'm trying to find out where they at. I talk to them in a way where I'm not making them feel like they being pressured. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of curious, like, so are you just cool with going, like, 6 months, once every 6 months or 2-3 months, you know? Oh, I'm great with that. Okay, all right. We will never be together. Just taking those down. You know what I'm saying?
They will.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean... I agree with you is what I'm saying. Like, you have to talk about something like that. And then, church people, man, come on, y'all. Like, and I'm...
Come on, tap into where you about to go.
Church folks. Like,
come on here.
I'm just going to add on crying when they said, church people, man, y'all have to... Stop acting like y'all have sex because y'all love y'all Lord.
Because
you know
love
what I'm saying?
The Lord, you're not
right.
getting in.
Y'all, we're some of the most biggest freaks
come
on the planet.
Come on, praise
so
the Lord.
So that's right, right. Like you said, cut it out.
Lord,
right. So we
Lord.
Need to talk about it, people. We need to talk, about it. And then my thing is,
and stop making it like it's so gross. Like, well, oh my God!
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
We need to be talking about sex.
Right. Because my thing is, when you say, "Oh my God, that's so gross," we will never be there. Like, it's gonna be right.
Ladies,
and my
I hope is, you're paying attention.
Right. And my thing is, you could be reacting like that because of what your bishop or your pastor, somebody at church said, but you don't even feel like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you say, "Oh my God, that's so gross," but you like, "Oh, I'm so turned on."
Right.
But that now you done missed out on the chance to really be with somebody.
Now you're conflicted.
Yeah. Now you're real conflicted because the person just like, now if the person is up front with you and be like, that comment you just made about sex being gross, like, that's my love language. I only see how we going to rock together.
Right.
And now this person is conflicted because they don't listen to somebody in the church and don't respond when they really genuinely like what the person wanted
person
to talk about.
When that person in the
about.
Church got more legs than anybody else.
Probably
so
do. They always do.
That's what I'm saying.
Say that again.
Well, the person in the church that's telling you not to be doing sexually things probably is one of the people that's having the most sex with multiple people. Mm. And so it's like you just have to be mindful of who you're listening to. If you see a couple and they're married and they're open about their relationship and they're communicating with you, go talk to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to somebody that's telling you don't do it because Jesus loves you, they lying. And they covering up some
just
stuff.
Just turn around and ask them, so how are you dealing with
right.
that?
Right.
Absolutely.
Then let your discernment kick in so you can see when they lying to you when you ask them
exactly.
that question. Because they ain't going to tell you the truth when you turn around and flip the same questions on them.
Exactly.
But that's us church folks.
Yeah.
You know.
Some church folks. Yeah. I don't want to put myself in that box.
Yeah. I was trying to do what TJ and they say. I was trying to inclusive, make it inclusive. I was trying to work
I
on
did,
that. You know what I'm saying? She
did,
say, I said us church folks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
He shouted out, I ain't me. I ain't talking about that.
Yeah, I nope. Maybe in the past, but no, not
right.
recently. Not
right.
in the past 5 years, I guess. Ladies, I have a question for y'all.
Past 5 years.
Y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure if I was going to bring it up or not, but all y'all have admitted to being married prior to your current marriage in this podcast, so I feel like it's okay to talk about it now. So I'm assuming that... Well, do y'all feel like y'all was prepared the first time y'all got married? Yes
nope.
or no?
Oh, that's a good one.
I've only been married one.
Okay, sorry. Next verse. Most of women on here. But you felt like okay.
Well,
fine.
You still
answer
though. Do you feel like you was prepared when you
No.
Okay.
That's
still a good
I
answer.
Had a lot of healing to do.
Okay.
And I'm grateful that my husband didn't say this girl is crazy and I need to run out. But he was patient enough to understand like my past was not the best. And I had some
let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to start working on your healing, and then were you consistent with it?
I would say 2 years after we were married, I started dealing with it because I had an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that time, I dealt with it to the point where I thought I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then like maybe years later when we moved to Georgia, I really started dealing with a lot of stuff. So it changed, like, the more I started dealing with stuff, the more, like, I was starting to be more open and being like, hey, I know I told you, because up front, I told my husband about everything. But then as time went on, I had to start dealing with all the stuff that I told him up front.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
So as I mature on that next level that I will go to, then I would have to deal with the healing on that level.
Mm.
And so now I'm in a place where I'm not all over the place emotionally. I'm in a better place. And so it makes me be more appreciative of him because he could have been like, this is just too much. But it's that communication. Amen. And it's that being open and honest. And I always used to be like, if this is too much, just tell me, because I know it is. And he would be like, I loved you. And I always tell people, he seen me for me. He didn't see me about stuff that I did in my past. He didn't look at none of that stuff. That stuff didn't like make him be like, girl, I'm out. And so that makes me appreciate and love him even the more. But was it a work? It was. Because it wasn't just me that had issues. He had his issues, too, that he had to grow up from. And I think that was the willingness. We both had things, because I was 27, he was 28. So we had to grow up. And so we're not the same person, the people that we were when we first got married. But it took some truths.
Right.
A lot of truths. And some truths I wasn't ready to look at.
Oh, wow. Was that a bust out of laugh or what was that?
I think some toes got stepped on.
Get to another water.
What do you want? Some strong water.
You okay? Okay.
Oh my God.
You must have hit a powerful point there.
Yeah, though. I know, right? So the ones who were married, y'all said y'all agreed that y'all probably wasn't prepared the first time around, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to lure you. I'm not trying to coerce you. I'm just
right.
Like,
she want to answer that.
Right. She's like, yep.
So my question to you is, how did you prepare the second time around?
That's a good question.
Everybody, well, those who have a second marriage, how did you prepare the second round? Because she only had one, so
I had to work a lot on me. And then to learn after I got married that I still had a lot of work to do on me. But no, I learned a lot from the mistakes I made in the first marriage, and then in the dating that I did taught me a lot more. So but in the mistakes that I made, that's why I grew the most. And I really felt like out of those things that I grew from, I couldn't make the same mistakes again because they were too painful. I could not walk down that road again. So I learned that. Whew. I ain't doing that, I took that approach, and then I had to make sure that I started the healing process from the things that I had at the top of the list that were affecting me the most. So, I mean, there were a lot of things that I did have to deal with to heal, and some of it I shut out, some of it I ran away from, some of it I just had to just dive right in, you know, but things that I actually thought I was okay with and that I had gone through the full healing process with, I got with Steph, and then he started hitting triggers that I didn't know I had.
Yes. Wow.
I didn't know
yes.
she had either.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I couldn't tell you.
That is so good.
Yeah,
yes.
I really thought I was okay as far as what I could see, but then I wasn't dating anymore for real. So it's just like, oh, okay. So there wasn't anybody to push me and test me and get me to a point of realizing, oh no, you ain't done, baby girl.
Right.
You know? So, but that was a lot of the process ahead of time, is that I really just wanted to make sure that I was healed, and not even necessarily for my marriage that was coming, but I had to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really just trying to be okay.
Right. I know that feeling.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
geez, I know that feeling.
Yeah. That's where I was with that.
Trying to be okay. Oh.
Can I just say this really quick before T talk? And some of the things that you do learn is when you actually do be with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I know some of the things we want to prepare or be ready for, like as we're preparing for marriage. But like you were saying, you didn't know until you got into that intimate relationship with somebody else, and it was pulling out those things that mm-hmm. you had but to address. And so some things are not going to come out until someone that you are intimate with, which means I am before you, this is who I am, and this is it. And they can start being like, oh, well, babe, blah, 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 blah. And then you have to start dealing with them and be grateful for the person that you're with that'll pull those things mm-hmm. out of you so that you can heal and that you can grow.
Absolutely. He could tell you some stuff, I tell you.
So what were some of the things Well, T, go ahead. You can answer the question.
Brenda hit the nail on the head. she all of that.
She said all of that. So. Okay.
Oh yeah.
That's your full answer. Okay, cool, fine. I'll pull it out you.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So what did you do to prepare?
What did I do to prepare for lunch? Okay, so I'm going to answer the other question.
I'm going to just go back.
All right. Since we have to. I realized that I just got to this age and realized how important it is to love me.
Amen.
Like, I did not... I'm a giver. As Pudge said, I'm a fixer. So I find myself always trying to heal and help. And I honestly take the scripture, treating others how I want to be treated, literally sometimes, that I find myself heartbroken. So I had to realize all that energy. And I can't even say that it's something I have fully grasped the whole concept. Of putting that same energy that I give out to, you know, put back into me. Instead of giving it to you, I'm going to take this time to love on me, to remind myself who I am, to realize, like, I realized just now at 31, and I don't know if it's after the kids, I'm becoming an introvert. Like, I want to spend more time by myself.
Oh, this is good.
Like, when I first got married, Ali will tell you, I was the more outgoing one, where he was more of the introvert, and he more adapted to being an extrovert, and now I'm the one that's like, can I just be by myself? I can't wait till everybody go to sleep. And he be like, really? Everybody. You too. I want everybody to sleep so that I can spend time with me. Because, like, I really think she's kind of dope. Like,
come on. No, ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know?
I like that. That's cool. That too.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Okay. All right, cool. So, Brenda, how did you prepare? What did you do?
See, I started paying my bills on time. No, I'm just like,
I learned how to budget. There we go.
No, seriously, man. When I tell you, I went through it financially like a beast. Oh my God! After when you get more than half of your income snatched away like that, Jesus have mercy on us all. No, so that was one of my biggest things, because I was fighting in the beginning because I was big on credit, I was big on the finances, I was big on the budgeting, making sure everything was great in the household that way. And that was one of my biggest struggles, because I was the finance person, and in the previous marriage, he wasn't. So that was the back and forth all the time, but that was the, oh, I can fix it part of me, you know? And he wasn't really willing to learn. He's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. All right. But once all of that passed and those finances got snatched from me, and now what was always a secondary income became the only income. Now it's like, the heck am I supposed to do with this? You know, I had to really choose. It's like, is your credit really important right now? You breaking your neck to pay some credit card bills that you finna re-spend up, and you finna, wait a minute. And it actually took somebody to say to me, Brenda, you gonna have to reprioritize your life right now. And I had to let go of the ideals of having this great credit and having all of these things that were just in my mind, my perfect. I had to let all of that go. I had to just rethink everything, really. And so once I got past that stage and started making a more okay amount of money, even though it was never really truly enough to be where I wanted to be comfortably, I was able to still go back and start doing things the way I felt like they should have been done. So now I can actually pay my bills on time. Now I can actually do the things that I'm supposed to do for me. Now I can actually, you know, take care of my kids the way I feel like, to a certain extent, that they need to be taken care of. They have the things they need, you know? And then I was actually able to pay a little more attention to myself. I was able to do a lot more things for me. And as far as the healing part is concerned, that was a daily thing. I definitely had to make sure that I was constantly doing things that was going towards my healing. So if that meant today you're going to stay home and watch a movie, have my me time. That's what I'm going to do. If that meant, you know what, I'm going to go spend that extra $20, $30 on this pedicure because that's what I need for me. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
And
that's right.
So those are the types of things that I started doing. And as far as the other healing from the mistakes that I made with relationships and the past marriage and those things, I honest to God, I'm still working on some of it, because, like I said, I did what I thought was the okay amount of healing. I got to a certain level, but then I realized I'm not done. Right. I ain't forgave me yet for a lot of this stuff that went wrong. And that's the part that I'm working on now. So that was a part of the preparation because I wanted to be as whole of a person as I could by the time I even met my husband. Right. But the crazy thing is it worked out in such a way that God hand delivered him to me ready to help me heal.
Wow. That's what's up.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's so beautiful. Like, I'm super thankful like because he really ushered in a lot of the healing that
Jesus,
he ushered in an atmosphere that allowed me to heal healthily, you know? So I'm really thankful for where I am now because even though I'm still on that road of healing, that was my road of preparation before I met him.
Come on.
Yeah. So
that's it.
You're speaking good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to add when you were talking about that, if you have children and you're preparing for marriage, include the children.
Yes, it's a must.
Amen. Amen.
So I gotta say this. One of the dope things that my dad did.
I messed up on that one.
What, including the kids?
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
Was it a secret?
God, yes.
Man. There's a story behind that one.
Oh, listen, yeah. Listen, she didn't, so she didn't tell one of them was moving.
Listen, no. Wait, don't throw me out like that.
Throwing under the bus like that.
It was bad. Listen, I'm gonna just say this. Listen, when it came down to it, he ended up. My babies was riding with him.
Yeah, to get boxes.
Wait.
Okay.
Literally, my youngest. Every time it was a quick move. It was everything with us happened like really fast. Mm-hmm. But every time I was talking about our move. Literally, my youngest daughter was elsewhere. I don't know exactly where now, but she was not there. So literally, they're riding around, and my little one goes, Steph, why does my mom need all these boxes? Your response?
I was like, she didn't tell you? Y'all are moving. Right? That's how I said, y'all moving. Then she's like, where are we moving? I really wish you would have talked to me.
So you had to be the one to tell
like, y'all moving with me. Like,
they like, wait a minute.
And our dating life went so fast that literally my middle daughter, Essence, she, the first time she realized that Steph and I were serious was when he walked in my front door and kissed me in front of everybody. And she's like, oh my God, Mom! And I'm like, oh God.
Let's go outside.
So when I tell you I did that part wrong, it was all the way wrong. But I also, the reasoning behind that is because even though I had a few dates here and there before I met Steph, I dated a few people. But the problem with that was, is as a single mother trying to raise three daughters the right way, I'm not finna be tracing no men around my house, walking in and out my house, coming in whenever.
Stop bringing Johnny and Jimmy to the house, okay?
If you ain't working to me, you're not even finna make it to my house. My kids don't even need to know you existed.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Come on.
So a lot of my dating life was a secret to them. Because
it should've been.
I don't need them seeing mommy with, and it's not that I even dated a lot of people, right. But if there's no potential between you and I, right. There's no point in me introducing you to them. Right. They don't even need to know about you.
Come on.
And that's how I carried it during that time. There were only a few people that got to meet my children. Mm-hmm. And that's just the bottom line of it.
Because it's too many uncles.
Yeah.
Uncle Jimmy. Yo. Uncle Johnny.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Buddy.
And then you grow up and learn Uncle Jimmy wasn't really your uncle.
Right. Right. Then you get all confused as you get older.
Right,
the last
you know,
five
but,
men weren't your uncle. So. You know, but that was all uncles.
Why
do
I have so many uncles? Why you have so many
and
brothers?
Whose brother is that?
Right.
But yeah, so that's where I went completely wrong because I didn't tell them enough. I didn't tell them that I was really getting serious about him and the fact that we moved so fast, it didn't help because one day I'm going on a date, Yanni, and like I was because I knew at this point, like I might be really looking at my husband, like for real.
Wow.
And I'm telling Yanni, like, I'm going on a date. Yanni's my oldest. Next thing she know, he's walking in the door kissing me. Next thing they know, we're moving in. So it's just like, in their eyes, what are you doing, mama? Right, yeah. Like, for real, are you okay?
Right, right. Let's all have a family meeting here.
Right.
And eventually.
Mom done lost
it. Right.
So, yeah, if, to them, it looked really crazy. Mm-hmm. It was really crazy.
Mm-hmm. My kids knew.
I did my part.
Right.
Right.
Needless to say, he wasn't their biggest fan once they moved in.
Yeah, look, he probably burned your ear off a lot about that, didn't he?
That's all. He just
you
like
supposed to be the friend of snitch.
Huh?
Oh man,
the friend of snitch. Look, this is family. Like she already knew. He had to vent to somebody.
Rather be you.
Right. He the one that helped me to see. You know how you were saying like you have those friends that get you to see what your issues are, and you were saying like you know he was like. When you got here to Atlanta, you realized you wasn't over that stuff. You really had to start. I started laughing inside because I was like, shoot, between Steph and Facebook, they both let me realize I'm still broken. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like Steph is strategic. He called you up and be like, hey, so, you know, Urchman, you know, I've been looking at the last couple of your Facebook pages and, you know, Dr. Steph kept kicking in. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, so, I didn't experience Dr.
Right,
Steph.
Yeah, and he's real, like, when he's serious.
Yeah.
There's no really sarcasm there, right. And it's hard to envision him without sarcasm. but it is when he's highly concerned about a real friend. So,
and then
my thing is, when I don't be in the mood and I hear his seriousness, is when I want him to be sarcastic. Any other time I can't stand when he's sarcastic, but this is the one time I want him to be. So he'll hit you up with the, I just know I've seen a pattern, you know, of everything that's going on in your Facebook page. Yeah. And do you think maybe it could be because you haven't done something of this life? You know, so like, you know, and he's tiptoeing, but he's hitting points. And me being a realist, I'm like, that's exactly what it is. You know what I'm saying? And then, I mean, so it's funny how God can have people and things in your way. A commercial could come on and let you know you ain't here.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Anything. It's like folks know when they not healed. That's all I'm going to say. It's denial when you telling yourself you good.
Yeah, that's
you know
good.
You really
for real.
Right.
People
letting
you tell yourself that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
T, you got something?
No. But I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am. I love questions.
Are you ever really fully healed and for marriage? Because I noticed
that's a good question.
Something that everyone has said at the table. At some point, I realized I wasn't fully healed. I realized I wasn't fully this. I realized I wasn't. So, is that something, is there like a certain level of healing and willingness you must hit? But are you ever fully healed?
Oh, can I take it?
Yeah, go ahead. You've been a less person speaking this whole time.
I know, right? Listen, because it's been their show for the most part. It's fine. We kind of touched on this on the men's show. I said you have to be healed enough to be married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Healed enough.
Yeah. I like that too.
Because something like, it's kind of like, y'all all kind of touched this point I'm about to make at one point in the conversation. It's like, if you've been torn, especially if you come out of another marriage, if you've been torn down and hurt and beat up another marriage and you've been lacking so long, that healing will help. Now, healing will come by your next person. The next person, the right person for you, and they're loving on you and filling those voids, the love language talking, your the words of affirmation, giving you everything you need, and that helps you heal a lot faster.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're hurt in those areas, it takes a partner to help you heal. I'm not saying you need that 100%, but it helps you. No, two is better than one, definitely. Two. So friends help me heal, will help her heal.
Yeah,
because I've heard men say that, like, you know, I need her healed, or I need her to get her healing, and she needs to not be so broken. And I'm like, okay, well, how perfect do you want this shit? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To a certain extent, of course, you know, you want somebody that's going to do the work. You know, counseling people, sit on somebody's couch, something.
And I always,
sit on somebody's couch.
I said, y'all know crosstalk.
And I said it before. I said, yeah, we do. We sit on couches.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we want a partner, not a project.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be a project. I want to be a partner. So either way, even if we're working on something together, we partner. I'm not your project. Right. She's not my project.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you can still be not fully healed and be healing during your marriage if you're in the right marriage. Because if you're in the wrong marriage, excuse me,
it's going to get worse.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
Okay, so I got one more question. Cause we just
you can keep them coming.
We just said that we were talking about counseling and getting that done. I'm a firm believer, and y'all can tell me yeah or nay, you know, guide me the right way. I believe that you need... Clinically, you need someone that is licensed you know, even if they believe her, she, shout out, okay? Yes.
Kwame Renee.
And she takes Medicaid.
Davenport and Medicaid. She saw the last show. She saw the last show.
But, you need someone that's, you know, licensed, a licensed professional, as well as the spiritual aspect, because I know a lot of people say, well, my pastors are counseling me. And I think that's dope if they are licensed professionals. However, if they're not, they're going to give you spiritual guidance. But I also feel like your licensed professional needs to have the same spiritual background or input that you have. So I think they work dually.
Yeah. They do. They do. I agree, because we're spiritual beings having a human experience, but our spirits are in our bodies and we have emotions and stuff like that. And another shout out to Renee here, because she does both. She's spiritual and she counsels on the therapeutic side. With me, I can't have just a therapeutic, non-spiritual, that bothers me. Yeah, me. I can't have an overly spiritual pastor. Yeah, I've done both. I went to a pastor, and he gave me good advice, but it wasn't. It never got to the root of the issue. It's what God wants of you. Okay, great, I'm with you. I believe the words of that. But why am I feeling this way?
And so
you need someone who's spiritually grounded in your belief system. And not just, and also can counsel you licensed, because it's a trained profession. Just because he's a pastor doesn't qualify him, and I don't mean it's, I'm trying not to step on pastor, but real talk, doesn't always qualify him to deal with every behavioral issue at all. Because a lot of different things, a professional counselor who does it for a living, they don't have different scenarios, they don't have the training, they don't have the, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. But if you're going to go to therapy and you're a believer, go to someone who can give you both. My therapist, every therapist I go to does both. But I know even when I go in there, they kind of get a feel for where I'm at, and then they decide whether they're going to counsel me on the spiritual side of it or just the, I guess, psychological side of it. And then it's kind of cool. I love when both of them hit. But see, for me, I prefer the psychological side, because I'm very spiritual. So I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I know it's what the Bible said. Give me some more other stuff. I know that part of it.
Give me tools.
Give me what I don't know.
So, but it does need to be both.
I still think it's very essential that you find out what your leader's heart is to what you're dealing with. So that's why I say both. But some people don't believe as firmly as I do with covering. So,
come on here, talk about it.
And then everybody covering ain't legit.
So, well, then you don't need to be under that.
But my thing is, you got a lot of babes in Christ don't know no better. So my thing is, go with your discernment. And for people who don't really know discernment, the world calls it that gut feeling. Like, go with your gut feeling. That's your intuition. That's your spirit talking to you, because you got pastors out here sleeping with half the congregation, but telling you to stay with a man that whoop your behind every day.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So,
that's true.
So, I mean, I would really be cautious when it comes to leadership in the church. I'm a PK. I've seen a lot. So I would just say, use your discernment. And you know what I'm saying? Because my thing is, you may have great leadership, but they might be going through a crisis at the time to where they're not in the right mental place to counsel you correctly. But they're not going to turn their flock away. They still going to counsel you. But so again, use discernment. It's not all for bad things. And then the Lord might just be like, I have someone else to counsel you that can do way better than your actual pastor.
Which is different, because I've dealt where at one point I did not go to counseling with my leaders for a minute, just because, just be transparent, as he's a PK, so am I. My apostle is my dad. So at some point, I had to go to a licensed professional. However, they had to believe how I believe. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
My leaders are, well, when it comes to me, I can't speak for them. I think because of my profession, I just pull it out. And I that's just an expectation. I need you to be 100% honest with me, because if not, you can't help me. And so... And I agree. There are some pastors that can't counsel worth of nothing. They're not living that example, and they're not even married, or they're on their like sixth marriage. I mean, like, they got some sexual things going on, but it's like, find somebody that's a leader, that's a pastor that's going to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I love.
And they're not going to sugarcoat you. But we as people that we are in the body of Christ, we gotta be willing to allow our leaders to come in and deal with it on a spiritual level. And if we're not willing to allow them to deal with it on the spiritual level, you can't get mad if they say, I didn't know. And sometimes we blame things on other people, especially when you're getting married. Like, help me live with this person that have different views that I have, and we're coming together to be one. And I totally agree about counseling. Get on somebody's couch. Do you hear me? For an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, and talk about how you're affected by the person that you laying next to every day. And don't look the part. Don't try to look like you're the model relationship when you know you're not.
L.A. commented. I hear you. L.A. Mitchell. I'm playing. L.A. Michael. L.A. Michael commented.
I know he heard that.
I know he did. He commented. It's kind of right in the line about the pastoral counseling versus
the clinical.
The clinical counseling, I guess. He says, me and my ex-wife had a bad argument, went to church for counseling from the pastor. After talking to him for an hour, he told me to go move into a hotel, and before I knew it, that was the end of my marriage.
Wow.
So for that, a lot of things I don't go to the pastor about. That's not every pastor. That's his experience.
Right. That's not every pastor.
Every pastor isn't qualified. Because I mean, sometimes they just don't have the experience or the knowledge. It's not a shot.
So I just can't.
I don't think going to your pastor for everything is the end-all, be-all for everything.
Right.
Golly, that's hard. Moving to a hotel. I'm like, what? What did you tell your pastor for him to think the best option was to move to your hotel?
And people don't understand that. Like, and this is just me. If I'm in an argument with my spouse, we not doing this. You go to somebody else's house, or you go sleep on the couch. Like, you know what I mean? Because that can draw you further away from apart from each other.
Division.
No, we gonna lay in this bed. I don't care. You wanna lay your body, turn your face that way. We laying in this bed together because at the end of the day, like. People don't know how much that can draw out, and then now 6 months later, you got you an apartment.
That distance, the vision, man.
Now you slick think you single.
Right.
Yeah.
But my status say I'm married.
Right.
But
right.
My actions say I'm single.
The only thing that says you married is your status.
Right.
That's
right.
It. Yeah. Yo, that's crazy. Yeah.
So just one. I just got one last quick question. So, I'm just going. I know y'all not. Counselors, but I'm just gonna put all three of y'all in the mindset of all three of y'all counselors. What do y'all tell a couple that y'all are counseling that how do you word to a couple that they ain't ready to be married? And they ain't ready to be married because the woman ain't prepared herself enough. I'm only saying that because this is the woman preparing themselves, but the woman and she just gung-ho, like you can't tell her nothing. And he slick gung-ho, too. He in a whole denial area, but y'all can see clear as day, this is a rain track waiting to happen.
I have a question, though.
What's up?
Have we already had this conversation? Or this is just like
This is like the conclusion after you have counseled them for weeks on end. And because, you know, people who get marital counseling, like, you know, the conclusion, as into, so you going to sign off? And then y'all like,
no.
But how do you break that to a couple who, in their minds, they ready?
I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I was their counselor, throughout those weeks, we would have had homework assignments. We would have had different things that would have tried to get us where we need to get, where I can feel comfortable with signing that document. However, if you didn't do the work, then I have no problem to let you know that we have not arrived.
What if they did the work? And in their eyes, they did great. Like, they had a whole bunch of hiccups, but when they got back to you, they was like, we had all these problems, but we feel like we did great.
It goes back to what I think we've all said.
Mm-hmm.
I can say it to you all day long.
Yep.
But if you walk down that aisle, that's on you now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you still marry them?
Yeah. That was the next. That was part B.
I wish this camera wasn't on.
Darn.
I'm just going to smile and say.
Nod.
That's a tough one.
It is.
No, it is not.
Then why you can't say it?
Because I can't say what I want to say.
This is her profession.
Can you paraphrase?
Yes, I can.
Text us. We'll read it.
I would say no, I wouldn't.
Okay.
And I would have to explain because at the end of the day, if I'm the pastor and we've had the session and I say I don't think this is it, me having a wedding and you coming down the aisle was basically me disregarding what I said in the session.
That's so true.
The whole time.
That's so true.
Just because this is what I want to do.
Right.
So now I'm like, well, and then when you want to get a divorce and I'm like, I should have. Now I'm going to be held at a different accountability with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I condoned something that I knew should never, because we just want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my answer would be no. I definitely wouldn't marry them.
I think the best approach, Pudge.
I figured that.
I think the best approach for me is up front.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I've counseled one couple when I married my first couple this year, which was awesome.
Hey. That's what's up. That's what's up. I remember that.
Yeah. It was an honor.
I seen the pictures too. I'm like, he over there. He looking proud of himself.
Yeah. It was family too. So I was nervous. Like, okay, Lord, please let them be ready. Because I'm going to have to hurt. Because they came to me as like, hey, we want you to marry. You family. I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, Lord, please let them be ready. Because I don't want to be the one to tell them. Like,
they, right.
Everybody slap on me doing it. Like, oh, please let them be ready. So they were ready. But even in that experience, I can't remember if I told them up front or not, but going forward, I would say up front, look, I'm here to counsel you. If I discern and see that there's any problems that we can't move forward, I'm not gonna marry you. I'm gonna be honest and up front with you. If that's okay, we can proceed. Mm-hmm. If it's not okay with you, then I'm gonna leave.
Right. That's
I mean, good. And even extending the time, like, hey, yeah. we're gung-ho about this date. Okay, well, we're a weekend, and we're getting a reproach in that date. I think we're gonna need more time. Without, you know, saying no up front.
Yeah.
I think I might do that. You know, we need a little bit more time.
At least I still, I mean, but that means.
Wedding day set, though.
Oh, then that's your business.
Because my thing is, but at least at least you as the counselor, you see that there's potential that they can work. So you're just saying we just need some more time to make it, you know. But I mean, I get it. Because I mean, I was curious because I've heard people where it's really hard to tell a couple is excited and gung-ho about getting married that y'all not ready.
I mean, I've actually experienced where couples have come to me pre-marriage, and there are certain periods that they have to, or certain pinpoints that they need to really kind of get to before getting married. Mm-hmm. Big things, you know? If you want a child, that person don't want a child, y'all need to talk about that.
Finance is huge.
If you like sex and they ain't really that about that life, right. Y'all need to talk
Definitely.
About that.
That's another
I mean,
one.
If you like to go out and like to travel, but they homebodies, these are the things that have to be talked about. Mm-hmm. However, whatever you're passionate about and your person does not get that, or you're not expressing your importance towards this situation, then, they're important.
just to let the world know, statistics shows for the past 15 years that the main reason for divorce is sex and finances. Sex and finances. So just for everybody listening to this show, like if that's
listen, we not having
listen that message, but we good.
We good on both.
I love it though. I love it.
But then, in case there was any doubt,
yeah, right. It is.
I don't know that. I really believe that it's like when people get married, it'd be like we just had that one day, and it's like after that intimacy, it's like, fine, boy, go with that. It's like I see females that their husbands literally be like, can you help? Can you help? Because this has been the issue. And I'd be like,
yeah, I'd never be me.
I don't understand how it is. And then having to have a conversation with a woman about, hey, how can we help you to, you know, your husband wants to be intimate with you, but you keep rejecting your husband. That's a whole lot of
right. So women that's like that, prepare yourself to get cheated on. So that's exactly what's going on.
That's the truth of the matter, though.
Prepare. Like, you ain't want to admit it. It's the truth. Prepare yourself. I mean, I will never understand a woman's mindset on why she feel like holding out on her man, or you realize that you ain't gave him none, and his whole sex drive never changed from day one.
Right.
But yours shifted. Now, I did learn something. I've said this in previous shows. I do know that when a woman is on her second child, her libido, all this stuff in here, it changes. Mm-hmm. So they'll go through a phase. Mm-hmm. But if the woman is real to her marriage, you know what I'm saying, then she going to come out of that phase. You know, she going to get herself back in the groove, especially if she has a relationship with the Lord. And she knows that God says come together as often as possible. Mm-hmm. So you are actually being disobedient, mm-hmm. men and women, actually, both of y'all. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, how can we get married, like you said, up under these vows? How can you forget these vows? Because I know this is wrong, but that's the one vow I remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, till death, nigga, do us part. That means at least 5 days out the week. Minimum 4. Something. But it got to be, it has to be one of them things where it's like, and women are the same. Like, men, if you that same one where you want to just, you know what I'm saying, hit your baby off every now and then, she going to start looking elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? Whether she entertaining phone conversations or whether she straight out just go ahead and just, right. You know, because I know people, man, where they have no problem with telling their other halves, I'm finna go get rocked, my whole world rocked this weekend.
Dang!
Yes, yeah. Homeboy. Homeboy ain't got no problem with telling his old lady that, and it's because he gets some once every 3 months.
Well, Anthony said, "We good too." By the way,
we good. Yeah. We team faithful, babe. We team faithful over here. Come on here, no issue, no issue.
This foreplay
going. And I'm being honest. It's like some of the people that we be around. Like we always tell people that, like we don't have them issues. Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about intimacy, sex, all that, we don't have those issues because if somebody think they about to pull in on Anthony Davenport, it's gonna be hard because of that.
Mm-hmm. And, so you do something strange for a little piece of change.
I will do something strange.
Okay. All right.
Not I will do something strange.
Some bills, babe. Some bills.
Not change. Bills, babe. Not change, but bills.
We want bills.
But coins ain't in rotation.
Come on here. It's a coin shortage. We don't need that.
That's a coin shortage. That's a new one right there.
But it's the truth though, because people, like, once again, we don't want to talk about it, and it's like go on vacation with your spouse by yourselves, mm-hmm. without the children, and be hot like for real, mm-hmm. and enjoy each other, and come back and be like, oh my god, like we're great, mm-hmm. and don't be like, oh my god, I gotta get home because the kids. Mm-hmm. You what keep kids? Talking about these kids. Eventually, it's gonna be like it's gonna be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Kids, you got kids. I have kids.
Your kids are older now. Right. So it's a little easier.
He's quick to turn off his phone and be like, babe, they're going to call you if they need something.
Turn off my phone. Right. Right. Right.
But it is.
Y'all need to take turns.
It's that divorce rate. Yeah. And so I had a friend that mentioned online, he was like, give me one word about marriage. And they were like, just saying horrible stuff. So I had to go in there and be like, marriage is great. And marriage mm-hmm. is, and I love it. And he like, I knew you was going to come here. And I'm like, right, because marriage it's too many people that look at marriage in a negative way.
Just
because
you married the wrong person, that don't make marriage. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. I didn't
well, because you didn't know what marriage was before you got into it.
Come on.
Too. Right.
Yeah.
That too.
A lot of people don't realize the work that goes into it.
They don't realize the work. And it's not just this wedding was beautiful work.
Yeah. Like, I hear people planning their receptions and all that other stuff, and I'm like, plan for the marriage. We
gotta absolutely.
Plan for the marriage.
I don't think people...
Do y'all have that?
Because I don't have that.
I want to cut y'all short, but if y'all have more stuff, because we have the 2 hour mark, boys.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We actually been talking that
this
long.
This is our Cross Talk's longest episode. If we got more, we can keep going.
I mean, I'm just, or part two.
Do we need a part two?
I think we in part two.
Yeah,
we
are.
Really good. Yeah, I didn't know. It's really, we really been talking that long?
Wow. Dude, 2 hours.
I thought y'all knew.
No.
Yeah, I've been watching the time, but it's fine. It's been great. We still.
Cause I can't even see the time on mine.
Yeah, 2 hours and some change.
Okay, well,
we've never had a podcast
last,
this long.
One last it's kick fine. on my page
on,
that I did.
The page.
Well, I got one too. So go ahead.
Okay.
Now you got cool. stuff.
Now you got stuff.
Let me ask you a question. You had no answer. Now
she went back to the notebook. I was like, oh yeah, I do have one thing that's not checked off. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is an extension of the triggers because I scratched that off my list when you start talking about the triggers. So watch how you respond to things that may be a trigger for you, but also watch how your spouse is responding to things that may be triggers that they may need help with.
Ooh, that's good.
That is good.
And the last part of that is to watch the relationships of the person that you're considering marrying. Meaning, watch,
come on, talk about it.
Watch how they are with the women in their
come
lives.
On.
Particularly their moms.
Come on.
Because this is someone who's of authority. This is someone who they should
that's real good.
Feel, you know, a love and a passion for. They should respect. But if you can clearly see that there's a lack of respect or a lack of, you know, and you can't clearly see why, you know, I mean, if there's other issues that are there that's causing them to be a certain way towards a particular person in their lives, that's one thing. But if there's a general lack of respect or a lack of trust or a lack of, you know, if there's not a healthy relationship with that person and the other females in their lives, that's a red flag like no other. So, I mean, it can give you a picture of most likely how things will be with you and that person.
Mm-hmm.
That is all.
That is I loved it. Mm-hmm. I would marry you again just based on what you just
said.
Wow.
Come on here.
I think she prepared for marriage, y'all.
I actually think that's the best note to end on. Yes. That's real.
But
that's
you didn't get out there easy. What you got?
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
I see how you dodging.
I see how you dodging.
We'll put that in the special features edition of Cross Talk.
Bless your heart.
Oh my goodness. Man, it's been a great time, man. And this show did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
We've been amped about this show, man, for a minute.
I've been, this is the most anticipated show I had. Like,
We've never had three guests at one time.
Never. Yeah, we did. We did for the Hip Hop Heads thing.
Okay, well, we never had three female guests.
We never had a panel.
Yeah.
Like, we never had this table.
We had a panel. It's just different when it's just a whole bunch of brothers.
Yeah, we didn't have a table. We just sat in a circle.
Homeboy.
We sat in a circle and passed the mic around.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we did. It definitely wasn't. This was way different.
Yeah, we didn't have chocolate either, so.
don't do that no more. I know my family, like, if she pick up another.
I heard it when she told Bunch, like, yo, take this.
Yes, I'm like,
then they eat. I'm like, well, right, you know what? Let me go ahead with
them. I mean, women and chocolate, they go together. So that was a great thing. Yeah, that was a great thing. They go together.
But it's been a great episode. It's been a great episode. We had listeners tuned in and checking us out live, and then we about to release it next week. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do y'all have any closing remarks before we close out?
Yeah, y'all got some cool.
Great. I really enjoyed being a part of this. This was wonderful. Yeah. I loved hearing the different perspectives. I love what you ladies, what you guys added. It was awesome.
Yes. Thankful for everybody here, man. It's been a great experience. Claude, you got anything? Need a shout out. Who's the girl we said we need a shout out? Remember that? We said something.
Crystal.
Remind me.
Let me get her whole name. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just because, you know, it's a bunch of crystals.
And read what letter to. Tell us why. Okay. So we have an affection term we call our faithful listeners. They're called cross talkers.
Yes.
Those are people who listen to a lot of our episodes. Not one. You can't be a cross talker after one or two episodes. You got to be rocking with us.
You got to be in.
Never have I had an instant cross talker.
Yeah.
So this girl, this lady right here, was nominated or initiated into the cross talkers because of this one fact that Pudge is going to share.
So what I read you today?
Yeah, read that.
Okay. Her name is Christy Sally.
Shout out to Christy Sally.
Christy Sally from South Carolina. That's where she at right
You're
now.
You're officially a cross talker.
Yeah, she's officially
today.
A cross talker. And this is why she's a cross talker. So I literally sent her the Grief podcast yesterday. This is what she sends me today. Okay, I'm 11 podcasts in. Like, she started watching podcasts. This is a podcast that she 11 straight. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, are you for real? Like, you listen to 10 already? She was like, 12 now.
Okay.
She was in 12 of our podcasts since Pudge gave her the Grief Report. Straight.
Straight. And then she was like,
to Crosstalk.
Right. Then she was like, I'm listening to the masturbation one right now.
Okay. Wow.
So, like, literally, and then she started talking about clowning me on one of the ones where she thought Step was getting on me about the episode, but it was the other way around. But. We've never heard, me and Step was even saying today, we ain't never listened to 11 or 12 of our podcasts straight back to back to back.
I listened to 3 back to back at one time before, only because I was trying to get ready for the next podcast. Like,
right.
Oh, God, let me listen to those. But, 12?
12.
I wish we had, like, an award, like a gold.
For
like
real,
a,
right. We got to make her one, too. Yeah, we got to get her one, too. And she's actually listening right now.
Wow.
Like, well, she went.
Thank
you. Let's give it up.
Thank you so much, Crystal.
Yes. Oh, so I want to read the other one, the one I sent you about the woman that's going to play the Grief podcast.
Okay.
To her group home people.
Let me cue it up real
wow.
quick. So as I always tell you on Crosstalk, we love feedback. We love to interact with our audience, and we love to hear your feedback. And me and Pud, we send this back to each other. It's like we get high every time we hear a new one. Like, yo, Pud, let's check. Oh man, let's check this. Oh, that's dope. It's amazing. It's encouraging. So we appreciate the good feedback, even negative feedback. We appreciate the fact that you're listening enough and care enough to give us feedback.
Right.
But this one really touched me. It actually kind of choked me up a little bit.
It did choke me up too. Her name is Heaven. She said, I really enjoyed it. It was deep. Had me thinking when it started off talking about minorities and therapists. She said, I'm a Mexican, and we are taught at a young age what happens in the family stays in the family. You deal with it and keep it moving, and you especially never get counseling. No one is to know the family business. And that's just how black folks is raised, which you spoke on last week.
Wow.
So it's crazy because I didn't know that Mexican families did the same thing that we did.
A smile.
Right. So she says, She says, hold on, counseling. No one tells the family business. Grief is a subject that is hardly spoken of. She said, kudos. The entire show was great. I will be tuning in from now on. And I love that you, Quan Renee, brought up the five stages of grief. She said, I work at a teenage rehabilitation center, and all of our members have suffered major grief and loss, and I work daily trying to help them talk about it and learn new coping skills other than using drugs and gangbanging. She said, I'm going to play this podcast for the group tomorrow at work. Thank you for
that's
sharing.
Awesome. Yo, that's what I'm saying, man.
Bless me. I got teared up.
Me too.
I got teared up.
Yeah.
Real, man.
Thank you.
I was like,
heaven.
Like,
thank you.
You will play a show.
I know. I'm
for real.
Man, that really busted.
Yeah,
so thank y'all so much.
Yeah, I did. All
right, put you in.
Scratch it.
Okay, what did I forget something?
I'm about to say, did we say something she wanted to say? She's scratching it out again? She was doing that the whole show.
I'm going to give it to you, T, because she asked me because she announced something, so I'm going to let you have
it. See, that's exactly what I was telling you. Don't worry about.
You didn't say
that. Too late. I can't edit this part out. Announcement. Too late. All
right, then.
Come September 27th, I will be a part of a radio show. The segment is called Five Mics. So any Christian hip-hop artists that you guys know, let them know that if they have new releases, they can come and send it to us. I'm going to critique it, and I'm on You First Radio Show on New Praise Radio.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
All right.
What's up?
All right.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. If y'all know any hip-hop artists.
You know we know hip-hop.
But not trash hip hop artists.
Listen,
right?
That's why I get the ticket.
And so yeah, just because I thought I was gonna do only hot new releases, but I'm gonna do all new releases that I can get my hands on, because how can anybody ever grow?
Absolutely,
so, that's good. That's
do
good.
They have,
that's
do you
good.
Have a contact email or something? That you can,
yeah. So it's Paradise TEE24@gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank y'all for being here once again, man. It's an honor. This is my first cross talk. I'm about to shout out. This is my number one cross talk here.
Right, room. He always shouting.
Yeah, you got to shout the queen out first. But, all right, so here's our shouts. Shout out to my queen, Brenda Cross Talker.
Hey!
My kids, Ramil, Seren, Tam, November, Alicia, Brandy, Eric, Atlanta, Georgia's in the building, Jefferson Town, Kentucky, Phoenix, Arizona, Rock Hill, South Carolina, Pioneers, Georgia, Forest Park, Georgia, Rosemont, California, Marietta, Georgia, Indianapolis, Indiana, Riverdale, Georgia, Jacksonville, Florida, Belleville, Illinois, McDonough, Georgia, Kingsport, Tennessee, Greenville, South Carolina, Smyrna, Georgia, Lexington, South Carolina, Stockbridge, Georgia, Fayetteville, Georgia, Mount Vernon, Illinois, North Shores, Michigan, Norwood, Ohio. Thank y'all for always tuning in and all the love you show.
Hold on. I just want to give an extra shout out. You know what I'm saying? For the folks who actually... All the people that responded to the grief episode, the podcast I said yesterday, thank y'all. Like, special shouts out to Crystal, Jackie, Jessica, Trina. That's all I can remember
LA.
Right now.
LA,
because he tuned in yesterday and he tuned in again today. He tuned in to watch the podcast.
Shout out to Jay. Shout out to Leo Nelson.
That's all I got.
Thank y'all for always tuning in. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Cross Talk
Radio. Peace.